much about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. The time has come. This is what we have all been waiting for.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
What's the best call you ever took on Loveline?
Well, there was a guy who went to a morgue and stole the head off an old corpse so that he could have a skull in his aquarium that he kept a snake in.
And what was his question?
Good question.
It's actually very deep. It has deep meaning to it. I think somewhere along my ancestral line, I have a little bit of black in me.
Oh, I see. You all want to blame the brothers.
So what you mad at the brother for? It's not his fault. He didn't do it.
And now.
I can't fire him. We work for the government, and he's B-L-A-C-K.
Our feature presentation.
Is that why you can't fire me?
Yes. It occurred to me last week. Please don't ask me why I was wasting a moment thinking about beer mug on my vacation.
How
but it occurred to me last week that that's why Beer Mug invented that cockamamie story about him being black in his heritage, because he's setting the table so that we can't fire him, or if we do, he'll claim it's because he's black.
Crafty.
Ha! How about that?
Right? We would never give him credit for something like that.
Clearly, racial discrimination is what he's going for if we fire Beer Mug. He's going to be filing a lawsuit. He's going to have Jesse Jackson out in front of our building, and the NAACP.
Yeah.
You guys are going down.
Admit it, Mugs. Admit it.
That's what I did. That's what I did, Bean.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another all-new Kevin and Bean Show, this time for a Monday morning, the 23rd of September. Really, Lisa's the only one I miss when I'm gone. How are you, my dear?
I'm good. I'm very good. I survived my weekend. You know, I got my advanced diving certificate over the weekend in Catalina. It's not easy, and I can't hear out of either ear. So there you go.
Did I overhear a small portion of a conversation where you're talking about how you tried to kill your boyfriend and fake it and make it look like it was an accident?
Yeah, but he's, you know, he's a better swimmer than I thought.
What did you do? Just step on his air tube or what?
You know how you're flailing around sometimes, because I did some flailing, and you knock their mask off and you knock their regulator out and you're like, oh, my bad. Or you say that underwater.
I don't know if I watch too much TV, but I'm starting to see a conspiracy in everything, because I'm convinced now that the only reason you guys started scuba diving is because you needed some way that they couldn't get back and, you know, charge you with murder when he's gone.
Yeah, what are they going to do down? You can't investigate. There's no crime scene underwater, right?
Exactly.
Police tape doesn't stick.
So what do you do now that you have this advanced certificate? What do you do with it?
Well, I'm going to St. Lucia on Friday.
Wow.
After the show. Excuse me. And yeah, we're going to go diving there. And we hear that if you dive in the tropics, it's so much easier than what we've been doing here. And I'm very much looking forward to that. So that's what you do with it. You go and
that should be beautiful.
See what's what. Yeah.
Should be fun. All right. Well, let's get started with this story before we tell you about today's show, which, by the way, is jam-packed. It's a ridiculous program today. But I hope that you haven't already talked about the Colombian man who overdosed on Viagra.
No.
66 years old. He decided to impress his new girlfriend with sexy time.
Mm-hmm.
So he intentionally, and it doesn't say in the article how much Viagra he took, but he intentionally, the article says, overdosed on Viagra. I guess he figured you take a little Viagra, you get this result. If you take even more Viagra, imagine how much better the sex can be.
I bet you can't get a boner.
So that's what he thought he would do. Well, he did, as you can imagine, just from seeing the commercials on TV, he did experience a constant state of erection that lasted for several days. And you know, the commercials here in America say if the erection persists for 4 hours, go see a doctor. He waited several days before he went to see a doctor. So when they investigated in the emergency room, they found the man's penis to be, quote, inflamed, fractured, and showing signs of gangrene.
Gangrene. I knew you were going to say gangrene. Oh, crap.
Lisa, what happens when a body part has
gangrene? You gotta amputate.
Yeah,
because it'll keep going. It'll keep spreading.
In order to stop the gangrene from spreading to the rest of the body, doctors say they were forced to amputate the man's penis.
And his girlfriend left.
What girlfriend?
Right.
Doctors say the man is now recovering and doing well. relatively speaking.
How would you continue?
Would you go on? Would you live with
yes.
peeing in a bag for the rest of your life?
And, but it's even worse than that. I mean, they cut it off.
Yeah, they sure did. They sure did.
Wow.
That's kind of the opposite of what he had intended when
yeah.
he decided he was going to start taking a whole bunch of Viagra.
He must have thought if he takes one, it gets this big. If he takes
yes.
three, it gets that big.
Yeah, he was looking for the best erection ever.
Yeah.
And instead, he got the last erection ever.
Well, I hope he had some sex in there somewhere.
I hope so, too. At least before it started to hurt
yeah.
and get gangrene. So that's how you want to start a new week with a story like that. Because no matter what you've got going on today, you're in better shape than
do
that.
Do you want extra sausage?
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know how that...
no sausage.
...would work at all. All right, let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
More rock, less talk.
Well, I don't know if that's going to be possible today, I'm sorry to say. We got Harvey Levin from TMZ.com coming up next hour, like we do. The great Carson Daly joins us on the program today, who you may have seen on stage last night as his TV show, The Voice, won an Emmy. He was up there with Mark Burnett, so congratulations to Carson. We'll talk to him on the program today. The Voice is coming back on TV tonight. One of my very favorite UFC fighters, I love this guy, Chris Weidman's going to be here in studio.
Very cool.
Lot to talk to him about, especially after the fight on Saturday night. Muggs, I assume you saw the Jones fight?
I did not. I recorded it, so I'll have to take off my headphones so I don't get spoiled.
How have you still not heard about what happened? It was Saturday night. It's a live sporting event.
I briefly heard what happened, and I kind of know some of the details, but I still want to watch it for myself.
We're going to spoil every minute of it.
Damn it.
Today with Chris, and we'll talk about his upcoming rematch with Silva, too, which is going to be great. Fred Willard on the program today, who we all love so much. Taylor Schilling, who's the star of Orange is the New Black on Netflix, is going to be here, and Andrew Siciliano talks all things NFL. That plus, Ralph's got the showbiz beat next here on the Kevin and Bean Show at K-Rock. You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ here on a Monday morning. By the way, I forgot to mention tickets for Depeche Mode Saturday night at Staples Center, plus a meet and greet with the band. Got that coming up for you this morning here on the world-famous K-Rock as well. Hi, Ralph Garman.
Hey, boys and girls. Big showbiz news today. It is Monday. Lots of stuff to get to. As always, we start off Monday morning by talking about the top 10 movies at the box office. Prisoners, as expected, topped the weekend box office in its debut weekend. $21.4 million is what Prisoners made. People raving about this film, saying one of the best films of the year.
That's Hugh Jackman. He's the star of this one, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He's terrific. He is such a good actor.
Thank you, Larry King. He's terrific.
He is.
Yes, great cast in this. And people seem to like it. $21.4 million made it number one. Insidious Chapter 2 was second with $15.5 million. Then The Family, Instructions Not Included. And Battle of the Year. Oh, I want to see Battle of the Year because it's a dance film and I love it. Fifth with $5 million. We're the Millers, The Butler, Riddick. The Wizard of Oz in re-release on IMAX screens in 3D. Had its debut this weekend with $3 million. And then Planes, bringing in the top 10. Last night, of course, the Emmy Awards were given out. HBO topped the list of winners with 27 Emmy Awards given to that network. CBS was second with 16. And then NBC was third with 11. HBO did very well with Behind the Candelabra. Boardwalk Empire also did very well for that network. And Breaking Bad was the big story of the evening. Won its first trophy for Best Drama Series as we say goodbye to that show. So congratulations to everyone with Breaking Bad. Here are some of the other winners from the show last night. Jeff Daniels won for Best Lead Actor in a Drama Series for his work in The Newsroom.
That was a little bit of a surprise, wasn't it?
It was. I think well-deserved, though. I think he's great on that show.
Mm-hmm.
Lead Actress in a Drama Series was Claire Danes from Homeland. No big surprise there. Best Supporting Actor in a Drama Series was Bobby Cannavale for Boardwalk Empire. Supporting Actress in a Drama Series, Anna Gunn for Breaking Bad. Best Comedy Series, according to the Emmy folks, Modern Family. Lead Actor in a Comedy went to Jim Parsons. Lead Actress in a Comedy was Julia Louis-Dreyfus for her work in Veep. Best Supporting Actor in a Comedy Series, also from Veep, Tony Hale won for that. And Best Supporting Actress in a Comedy Series, Merritt Weaver for Nurse Jackie. And
I love her.
She's great, but that's
it's not a comedy.
That show does not belong in that category.
No.
You can't compete.
Mm-mm.
But she is great on that show, and she had the highlight acceptance speech of the evening.
Did she?
I don't know if you saw it or not. Yeah, but we got some clips coming up later on in the show to talk about the Emmys. As I mentioned, Best Movie or Miniseries went to HBO's Behind the Candelabra, so congratulations to those guys. Michael Douglas also won for Best Actor in a Miniseries or TV Movie. And Laura Linney won for The Big C in that same category for actresses. Congratulations to everyone involved. Speaking of Breaking Bad, if you're a fan, or maybe you've never seen an episode, you'd say, what? What's all this Breaking Bad about people keep talking about? Well, here's your chance. Wednesday,
yes.
Excuse me, AMC will run a marathon of all four seasons of the show. 62 episodes in total.
Oh, I don't think I have enough room on my DVR.
Ahead of its finale next Sunday night at 9 p.m. So,
wow,
you'll be able to see the whole show from its beginning, starting Wednesday. And, of course, Talking Bad will be on immediately after the finale on Sunday night as well. So many of the stars of the show are going to stop.
That is one of those shows. And I know we all miss shows and go back and pick them up. That's a show, if you haven't seen, you owe it to yourself to give some time to.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
Well, since you love it so much, Bean, why don't you get Walter White's underwear?
Excuse me?
Why don't you get his underwear? You know you want it. AMC has placed more than 250 items up for auction on a site called Screen Bid, where you can buy props and costumes from the show, including Bryan Cranston's tighty whities that he wore in the series. The starting bid for Walter White's skivvies, $250. Come on.
Yep. It's affordable.
Yeah. Yep. Well, who knows what it'll get up to, but you can get his underwear. Also up for grabs, the yellow hazmat suits, worn by Cranston and his co-star Aaron Paul.
Oh, that's an iconic item right there.
Yeah. Bidding begins September the 29th. But in the meantime, Racked.com says they're all on display at the Museum of the Moving Image in Queens, New York. So, to our New York affiliates, if you want to get out there and check it out, this is your opportunity. Congratulations to Andy Samberg. Said I do to his girlfriend last Saturday in Big Sur, California. Joanna Newsom is her name. Lovely girl.
Singer. Yeah, she's good.
Yeah, everyone seemed to have a good time at the wedding.
They've been together a long time. What do you think of, you watch his new show, Ralph? Did you check it out last night?
No, I haven't seen Brooklyn Nine-Nine yet, but.
It has potential.
No, I heard it's good.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. It was decent, and I actually laughed out loud a couple of times.
Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel were in attendance, along with other big-time guests. So, congratulations to those guys. And sadly, one of the relationships that we love so much is now over. Alabama quarterback A.J. McCarron and his former Miss Alabama girlfriend, Catherine Webb, have split
up. Oh, no.
Yeah. America's sweethearts.
How did he let that happen?
I have no idea. Where she's now dating Brent Musburger, which I thought was shocking. Such a surprise. And if you want to raise the next Honey Boo Boo, if you want to get your kid into beauty pageants for toddlers, you're going to have to do it outside of France. Fascinating story over the weekend where France and their country's Senate has voted to ban beauty pageants for anyone under the age of 16.
I think that's a great idea.
The nation says it hypersexualizes girls, and so they have to have a duty to defend the interest of the child, in spite of parents who may be blinded by the glitz and pursuit of a crown. So you get a steep fine, by the way, if you break that rule. And you can be imprisoned for 2 years if you put your child in a beauty pageant under the age of 16.
I don't agree with that, Lisa.
No?
I'm glad we don't live in a country where the government tells us whether we can put our kids in pageants or not.
I think someone should step in and protect those kids.
I think it's pretty creepy. Now, I did hear a big debate about this over the weekend, and they said that the stuff we see on TV isn't the way most pageants are run. Even with young kids, they don't put makeup on, they don't do crazy dances and stuff. But then what are they doing?
Anytime you're trotting children up on stage and making them compete based on their appearance is a horrible thing.
Yeah.
And
getting them to diet at age 10.
There's nothing you can do under the age of 16 that you can't do when you're old enough to recognize what you're doing in a beauty pageant.
And
what's
really
the rush? Why does anyone have to be in a beauty pageant under the age of 16?
I agree.
I think it's absolutely in the benefit of the child's welfare to not put them through such a procedure. Yeah. It's crazy. Today's celebrity birthdays. Mickey Rooney, 93 years old today. Can't believe he's still alive.
I can't either.
Singer Bruce Springsteen celebrates his 64th birthday today. Actor Jason Alexander is 54. When he was 52, someone gave him hair. I don't know if you noticed the past couple years. He suddenly has a full head of hair. It's
really?
Very strange. Yes. Chi McBride is 52 years old. Jermaine Dupri turns 41. And Matt Kemp of your Los Angeles Dodgers, who by the way, I believe they have clinched now their division.
They certainly have.
So
yes.
Congratulations.
Hey, knock, knock.
Yeah?
Who's there?
Who's there?
Go Dodgers!
Fair enough. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Few sold out tickets for Depeche Mode on the program today. Also, Machete Kills tickets, if you can believe that, coming up. So excited about that. We'll talk to Carson Daly later this hour, who was on stage at the Emmys last night, and Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. But first, another great NFL weekend. I don't even understand this season, but we thought the guy who might bring into the Sharp Focus for us is our old friend and longtime sportscaster, the great Pat O'Brien. Ladies and gentlemen, joins us here in studio on the Kevin B.
Hey, Kevin B. Great to be here. To help you guys figure out what's going on with this NFL season. It's craziness, huh?
Well, you are also a sports radio professional now. That's what
you
do.
Now, the primetime show, me and Steve Hartman.
That's right.
Yeah, ask Hartman, he'll tell you. doing a big-time radio show. You know, I've been in this business for a long, long time. Covered a lot of sports.
You do mention that frequently.
Tennis, basketball, football, of course. And I think you guys struggle a little bit when it comes to understanding the NFL, so I thought I'd do you a favor. Come on by here.
Well, we're always interested in your insights.
I was telling my good friend Dule Hill yesterday when I was hanging out with him. We were playing some backgammon. And I said, Dule, I think Kevin and Bean will help with their sports coverage. So, that's why I'm here, by the way.
If you're going to drop names like you do, maybe the guy from Psych isn't the big name.
Tom Selleck told me that. He said, you know, Pat, if you're going to talk about celebrities, maybe you want to, you know, mix in some bigger names. And I said, well, listen, Magnum FU. That's what I told him, because I don't like people telling me what to do. Ask Hartman, he'll tell you. Let's talk about the NFL, shall we? Some craziness in terms of what teams are unbeaten and what teams have gone 3-0. Just a little piece of trivia for you. Since the Super Bowl era, only 1% of all teams who have ever started 3-0 have made it to the playoffs. So that's bad news for teams like the New York Giants, for example. What happened with them yesterday? Crazy.
Oh, you mean 0-3. Teams have started 0-3.
What'd I say?
3-0.
Oh, so, sorry. It's the demons. They're back again.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
So basically, you could look at it and go, hey, it's a long season. It's only three games. You can certainly recover. What you're saying is statistically, teams don't.
Statistically, since the Super Bowl era, a team going 0-3, only 1% of those teams has ever made it into the playoffs.
Wow. Bad news.
So bad news for teams like the New York Giants. What happened to them yesterday? It was crazy.
What happened to them yesterday, Pat? How do you explain that?
Their defense, that was a team loss, really. No one really showed up for that team, but the defense was struggling against the Carolina Panthers. 38-0 was that score. I haven't seen a score so lopsided like that since I played Anne Hathaway in tennis. Crushed her, by the way.
I doubt that happened, Pat.
Yeah. The New England Patriots are 3-0. Beating the hapless Tampa Bay Buccaneers yesterday. They're 0-3. And the Miami Dolphins are 3-0. I don't think anybody saw that coming.
I didn't think they'd win three games this whole season, Pat.
They beat up on the Atlanta Falcons yesterday. A close game, 27-23. And I'll tell you something. I was talking to Simon Baker, the mentalist, about that.
Come on, Pat.
And Simon said to me, I don't understand your American rules football. He's Australian, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, don't worry about it, Simon. Just kiss me.
He's a good looking man.
He's a good looking man, isn't he? Those Chicago Bears, they're for real. 40 points hung up on those Pittsburgh Steelers. 40-23 is the score in that game. Steelers 0-3.
What's up?
Chicago Bears undefeated, 3-0. Seattle Seahawks, 45 points over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Hell, I could score 45 points on the Jacksonville Jaguars when I was playing touch football with Reba McEntire.
Okay,
she was on
why?
My team, and we hung 45 points on our opponents.
You don't really need to drop all the celebrity names. The Seahawks took out their quarterback, Russell Wilson, in the third quarter. You don't see that all too often in the NFL these days.
Well, I get the guy hurt. It was a smart decision on their part, I thought.
Yeah, it's a blowout.
Pittsburgh's in big trouble, I think. Their defense is a mess. Like the Washington Redskins, their defense, non-existent. Detroit Lions beat them 27-20 yesterday. Lions go to 2-1. The Washington Redskins 0-3 in that NFC East division, or NFC Least division, I guess you could say. That's what I told Zach Braff yesterday when we were out there playing some handball. He thought that was pretty funny.
So a team like the Eagles that has its own struggles at 1-2, all of a sudden they look like the class of the field because everyone else is sucking even worse.
The only other team with a win is Dallas Cowboys. They've got two wins, of course, and New York Giants. And the Washington Redskins, both winless, so that's for anybody, that taking that that division right there. That's what I was talking about when I was talking to Adam Sandler the other day. I said, hey, Sandman, what do you think about your Giants? And he said, I don't even know what that means. Neither did Michael Caine. We were out there having brunch together. He didn't understand it either.
Wait, you and Michael Caine and Adam Sandler were having
brunch together? Yeah, we have a standing brunch reservation. We get together every Sunday, just hang out. Sometimes Corbin Burnson joins us, but he wasn't available.
Why don't you ever post any photos of these alleged celebrity encounters that
Well, my celebrity friends, I mean, you understand not having any celebrity friends, but...
No, I don't.
A lot of them just like to be regular people, like to hang out together, you know?
I see.
Have a, you know, have a virgin mimosa. Known as orange juice.
That's why I'm glad you respect their privacy by not blabbing about those get-togethers.
Sharing an e-cigarette, and we just hang out together. And that's what Russell Crowe always taught me. Just don't make a big deal about who you hang out with, what celebrities
you're with. All right, I got it. Hey, listen, we're almost out of time. How about tonight, though? Do you prognosticate at all, Pat? I mean, do you have do you ever put any money down on a game,
I've sworn off prognostication. My hands were getting chapped from all the prognostication.
No. That just means predicting on who's going to win the football game.
You want to predict who's going to win? Well, tonight's game, Oakland Raiders versus the Denver Broncos. I'll tell you right now, I don't know anybody who's playing better than the Denver Broncos offense is right now. That Manning kid, he's got a future, doesn't he?
Yeah.
That Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
So I'm predicting.
I think you're joking or not, but yes, I think he's very good, Pat.
No, I'm just kidding, of course. I think the Denver Broncos will win out over the Oakland Raiders. They'll go to 3-0. Oakland will drop to 1-2. Oakland's got a good team, better team than usual this season, but I do believe that Denver's a team of destiny. They're my pick for the Super Bowl winners this year. I'm going to go out and say it right now.
How about that?
I'm going to go out on the line and say Denver Broncos will win the whole thing, as I was telling Joseph Gordon-Levitt when we were getting our shoes shined yesterday. Jogo and I like to go out there and get our shoes shined. Hmm. You can always tell a man by his shoe shine. Man's got shiny shoes. He's got a shiny heart. That's what I've always said.
Well, I'll make a note of that. Thank you, Pat. Appreciate you stopping by. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next time.
All right.
I love that song so much. Tame Impala, that is Elephant here on the world-famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ on a Monday morning. Hey, give me some Harvey Levin at TMZ.com, would you please, beer mug? Thank you. Hey, Harvey.
Hey, Dean.
That was weak.
Hey,
what's going on, man?
How are you guys?
Good.
Watch those Emmys
last night. I'm still pissed off.
What are you pissed off about, Harvey?
Dude, seriously. Jeff Daniels and not Bryan Cranston?
Are you okay? That is nuts.
Look,
are you serious?
Look, first of all, that's an incredibly tough category.
No. Bryan Cranston should have won that award, period.
But isn't this the old conversation, Harvey? And I understand why you're outraged, because we all expected Bryan Cranston to win, and he's phenomenal on Breaking Bad.
Phenomenal.
But is he as good? He's great playing Walter White, but isn't John Hamm great playing Don Draper? I mean, it's so tough to compare those two actors doing roles.
They're all really good, but come on. I mean,
you don't think Jeff Daniels was? How about Jeff Daniels on the Newsroom? He's great. I don't know that Bryan Cranston could play Will McAvoy as well as Jeff Daniels does.
They could play the other person's part. It's how they play their own part. And I agree with you. I think Jeff Daniels is good. But come on, I mean, Bryan Cranston. It's a role that you see in television once every 15 years.
Right. No, I agree. It's iconic. It's classic. It's a role like Tony Soprano that we'll be talking about in 30 years.
And Pete, let me just explain. You will never convince me. So if you want to try, we're going to hit a wall. So
it's
we can move on, or we could just argue about the same thing.
Let's talk about the outrage that a lot of people have over last night's Emmys, and not just that they were 3 hours that were mostly boring. It's a long show, isn't it, Harvey? Jesus.
Well, I watched Breaking Bad. I mean, obviously, I missed at least half of it.
I paused and flipped over and watched the final Dexter, and then came back and caught the last 2 hours.
Oh, how was that, by the way?
Let's not get into that, because then we'll all be sad. The controversy after last night's Emmys had something to do with about 2 minutes on the show that started like this from Jane Lynch.
It is remarkable and perhaps a little curious how quickly television shows become like families. This summer on our show Glee, we suffered a painful death in our family. Corey Monteith played Finn Hudson.
So they did something new on the Emmys last night, which is, in addition to the regular in memoriam that they do, where they put a whole bunch of names and pictures up with some sad music, they also chose a few to give a little exceptional time to. They spotlighted four or five other people who had passed away in Hollywood in the last year. What's the controversy for folks who haven't caught it yet, Harvey, about Corey Monteith being part of that?
Here's the thing. I mean, you know, Gene Stapleton clearly deserves it, right? I mean, Gene Stapleton was iconic, was amazing, won Emmys, and three of the other four the same. And then there's Corey Monteith.
Right.
And Corey Monteith never won an Emmy. Corey Monteith was a drug addict who died of an overdose. Now, he was a talented guy, but did he make that kind of a mark in Hollywood to justify that? Jack Klugman's son is pissed off. Adam Klugman said, this is ridiculous. My dad won 3 Emmys. He was the star of Quincy. He was the star of The Odd Couple. He had a storied career in television, and my dad gets the bum's rush, and Corey gets a special mention. And he thought it was outrageous. So we start asking, as a matter of fact, you played the Jane Lynch thing. We got Jane Lynch at the Kings Road Cafe yesterday, and we asked her about it. It was interesting. She said, if I were Jack Klugman's son, I'd be pissed off, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, listen, she makes a fair point. And then there were some other people who said, well, it's good that Corey Monteith got it because it raises the issue of drug awareness and drug abuse, which is fine, but the Emmys are not a PSA.
Right. And by the way, when I was watching that In Memoriam, I saw several other people, including, how about Larry Hagman, who starred in 2 of the most iconic television shows of all time.
Who didn't get special mention.
Who didn't get the montage. Right. I mean, he was only in the montage. I mean, he was I Dream of Jeannie. Of course, he was Dallas. Why do you think the decision was made? Do you think it was a nod from the Emmy people and the people who put the telecast together to try to get young viewers interested?
Yeah, absolutely. I think
that's the only reason?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. And it's like, you know, they don't want to have, you know, it's really sad because, you know, you can, you know, they don't want to have a bunch of old people. Well, old people are the ones that tend to die, you know, and so they wanted to get somebody young in who was, you know, quote, relevant to spice it up. But it's like, come on, you're in for a penny, you're in for a pound. If you're going to do it right, do it right.
And by the way, what makes you think you're going to attract young people to your show with that 2 minutes on Corey Monteith if they're then going to go to Elton John singing a song about freaking Liberace a couple of minutes later?
Stupid. It's you know what it is? This is decisions by committee, and you just feel it all over the place. It's decisions by committee where there's no real voice, there's no real thought, and that's why it's a mishmash.
We are going to talk lots more about the Emmys, not only with Carson Daly, who'll be in studio with us in just a couple minutes, whose show The Voice won last night, but we also got a bunch more audio highlights we're going to play for it. But I want to talk about one more story with Harvey Levin from TMZ.com when we got you on the line. I had completely forgotten about John Gosselin from the John and Kate Plus 8 show, but you've been tracking him lately. First, you told us last week or the week before that he doesn't have internet, doesn't have a TV, and is working as a waiter. That's still the deal, right?
Right.
Okay, now you've got photographers chasing him, and he's shooting at them? What's up?
Well, John was in the right here. So this photographer follows him from the restaurant, apparently, to his house. And she goes on a public road, follows him in Pennsylvania, which is fine. And then he goes onto his private property, and that's not cool. And she follows. That's what's not cool. And he says, get off my property, and she doesn't. And he says, it's private property, get off, and she doesn't. So he takes a gun out of his pocket, of his holster, or whatever, wherever it was, and he fires a warning shot in the air. She then gets off, and she goes to the police station, and she says, I want to file a police report. And they said, properly, well, okay, if you want to file a police report, you can, but you should know that he has a right to do what he did, but if we start an investigation, we could end up arresting you for trespassing. And she's like, well, on second thought, maybe I won't. So John did, you know, John was totally in the right here. And maybe she learned her lesson.
I'm interested. I'm fascinated with that law in Pennsylvania because where I live in the state of Washington, you can't shoot a gun in the air to get somebody to leave your property.
No, I mean, no. I mean, look, the laws vary, and, you know, there are self-defense laws that vary from state to state. But the bottom line is he had a right to do what he did and where he did it.
Are you surprised that he's apparently broke with the what I imagine had to have been millions of dollars that he made over the life of that TV show with his
wife?
Well,
and if you remember, he's the guy that torpedoed the show.
Yeah,
he was pissed off at his wife, and he went to court, and he said that you're putting our kids on. It's like slave labor. You're not allowed to do it. It violates the child labor laws, and they shut the show down. He could have made a fortune for not only for himself but for his kids, and he shut it down. And I'm not saying, you know, he did the right or the wrong thing because maybe he really did care about his kids, although it felt like he was getting back at his wife. But bottom line is, when people want fries with that burger, he's got to get.
All right, TMZ Live airs at 4 p.m. on Fox. And, of course, the old-fashioned OG TMZ show airs like every half hour on Fox as well. Channel 11, TMZ.com, the entertainment website of record. Always a pleasure to talk to our good friend Harvey Levin from TMZ. Thanks, man.
See you guys.
So Carson Daly walks in the K Rock studio, and first thing he says is,
"Can I get a little rag to shine this thing up with you? Just a little."
He's got his Emmy with him. He walked in with his Emmy from last night.
I've never held one before.
It's such a weird thing that
it's beautiful.
I'm going to take it everywhere I go.
You should
for a long time because it's just silly.
So how does it work? The show, what was the category that The Voice won the Emmy for last night?
Best Reality Competition Series, which is a category that's only been around, I think, for maybe 10 years. And The Amazing Race on CBS has won literally every year. It's the John, you know, it's the Daily Show of the these reality shows. Yeah. It's won every year except once. Top Chef won an anomaly one year they won, and we broke the spell last night.
So who gets Burnett gets an Emmy. He's the producer, right?
There's about, I think, 10 credited producers, yeah. But I didn't know I was going to get one. When we won, it was just so – we're also trained to just – as I'm sure Jimmy Kimmel and Fallon and everybody in that late night group, after 10 years of Jon Stewart winning, you just get
you
used
just
to
get
the
out
whole.
Of the way.
It's just nice to be here and nominated. And then when you win, it's just such a shock. So I grabbed Mark Burnett's and I said, "Can I have a picture with this? My parents are on a cruise in Italy. They're never going to believe this." And I didn't think I was going to get an actual Emmy. So I took a picture with one, and then about 20 minutes later, we were in line. I'm like, "What's this line for? Is this press?" I'm like, "No, this is where you pick up your Emmy." I'm like, "I get one."
My God, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was
Carson.
Crazy. It was crazy.
So, in your professional career, was that the coolest thing that's ever happened to you last night?
You know, I mean, it was because nobody thought that another, including myself. The commonality, and people ask me, why does The Voice work? I say because none of us ever watched American Idol. And quite frankly, none of us really liked it. We all thought it was, you know, me and like Adam Levine and Blake and Cecil and Christina, mm-hmm. we're all of the era where people in music had to earn their success, you know. Right. And I know it's an old school way of thinking, but our friends were in Vans and punk bands and, you know, even our peers, you know, even if it's just like a No Doubt or a Bush. I mean, A&R was in a different place. And these sort of shows felt like shortcuts to us. They felt like karaoke on TV a little bit, which is really a stupid way to think because American Idol really has changed the business. It's one of the most successful TV shows in history. Right. So when The Voice came along, we weren't overly excited.
Not to interrupt, Carson, and you also can't deny that they have introduced us to stars, people who have long-lasting careers. They
certainly can't take that away from them. No, you're right.
But you told us before The Voice premiered, you told us, because a lot of people said at the time The Voice came on all those seasons ago, "We don't need another singing show."
Right.
And you came in and said, "I agree with you guys. We don't need another singing show. But this is different. Trust me." And you were right. And you continue to be right year after year.
Well, we got lucky. It's a fun format. It's something that, you know, with the chairs and the blind auditions. But the level of talent is great. And also just the idea of being uplifting. And, you know, our coaches, they care. And you can tell they've got great chemistry. And it's
just a
well-produced show.
And why is it, Carson, that all these other shows, American Idol, X Factor come to mind, America's Got Talent, why do they all have so much trouble with judges? And you guys have more good judges than you can put on every season.
I think the key is people want to be on TV now to reboot other parts of their career. It's really about why you do what you do. It really in life, I think it's that way. I mean, who wakes up genuinely excited to do their job? And I think with our coaches, they're all real musicians and singers first and foremost. They're not TV coaches. You know, this isn't their day job. And they're there because they really like the show, The Voice. And so when we're shooting, that stuff's just it's just comes out on TV. It translates.
And it is interesting that all of your coaches are – all of their careers are at their high points right now. I mean, you know, guys like Adam Levine and Blake Shelton and CeeLo and Christina and Shakira, all of them are still superstars. That's what's amazing that
you
have them on the show.
You're right. Blake's gotten the biggest bounce from the show. None of us knew who he was. And now we've come to love him. And he's really – you know, that guy is a movie star. I mean, he's just you know, he's a great guy.
Hey, I know my wife has a crush on him. How do they handle – and this is a serious question, Carson.
Sure.
You've been doing the show a long time. How do they handle Christina Aguilera's boobs on that show? Do they ever have to stop taping to cover her up? Because those puppies get out of control sometimes.
Beer Mug, who looks like he's been asleep for the past 4 days, just lit up when you said boobs. what is wrong with you, Muggy? Where are you all right?
The weekend killed me.
Oh,
my
God.
A lot of upset.
Really... I slept 2 hours, won an Emmy, and was on the Today Show at 3 a.m. You look far worse than me.
I'm worried about you. That's why you're you and I am me.
My God, it's hard to talk with this face right here.
I'm going to tell you something that's going to be the most shocking thing you've ever heard, Carson, and that is that Beer Mug just turned 30. Doesn't he look...
I remember he was that young.
But, doesn't he look 55, though?
Today he does.
Seriously, he looks like Saul from Homeland. What the hell is wrong with this guy?
That's a good one.
So back to her boobs. Is there ever a problem where they come out and they say, "No, you can't wear that," or "No, we have to reshoot that," because they're dangerously close to popping out most nights?
They are.
Or is it just a strategy?
It's last year. She's lost so much weight, and she looks so good. And she, you know, when you feel good about yourself, you know, you're in a good mood.
It off?
Yeah, and you show it off.
Yeah.
But they were the girls were out of control last year.
Yeah, they really were.
But she often didn't wear pants, so we were more concerned about the no pants Mondays than the boobs.
This is Emmy winner Carson Daly here at the Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, The Voice returns tonight on NBC at 8 o'clock. It looks like it's going to be another great season, season 4. Real quick, because I know you got to get back to your own radio show, explain how your life is going to work now. If you're full-time on the Today Show in New York, the same time you're full-time on the radio in Los Angeles. Like, is cloning a thing now that we can do, or what's happening?
I don't know how it's going to work, because I just started the Today Show last week, and I was in New York, and... you know, it's crazy to be on a show. I'm normally on a TV show, and you hope the show lasts, and the Today Show's been on for 61 years. The deal was, you know, when you're not doing The Voice, we'd like to have you on here in New York on the Today Show. And the radio show I can obviously do, because the Today Show's over at 9 o'clock, which is, you know, 6 o'clock here. So the radio show's not in jeopardy. That's easy to do. And then when we're shooting The Voice, I'm here, and when we're shooting the Today Show, I'm there. But
sometimes you could do your radio show from New York, and sometimes you could do the Today Show via camera from L.A. as well, right, if you needed to?
Yes, yeah.
What's going on with the late night show, Carson?
You know, I don't know. It's something that we're working on right now. I'm still going to
love it.
I do love it. I'm sure NBC wants to have, because we have Seth Meyers now taking Jimmy Fallon's spot, and Jimmy Fallon and New York. It's all in New York, and I know that they want to keep something like Last Call, West Coast based. But you know, we have a million people that watch that show faithfully, and I feel like it's the only slot on network TV that gives a crap about shining a light on new music. And new bands, and that's something that I'm really proud of personally, having bands like The Killers or even Maroon 5 make their debuts on a show like that. It's been on for almost 10 years now, so we're going to hopefully just keep that going and at least get my crew back working. I don't know how much I'll be on it, but I want to keep the new music going and keep those guys employed.
The only thing that hasn't worked for you in this unbelievable last couple of years is your Million Second Quiz show. I think that was a little bit of a misstep for you. I mean, I appreciate that you tried and whatnot, but it just didn't catch
fire.
It's
so confusing.
I could not... Yeah. Understand what was going on with that show. And I think Ryan's great at what he does. And there were moments when it looked good. It was cool as in New York. Yeah. When it looked and felt like a new version of Millionaire, it was fun. It was fun to sit at home and answer the questions. But the other 98% of the show was the most confusing thing on television I've ever seen.
Things would pop up. New rules were being created on the spot.
Line jumper and all these terms. I mean, it was like a bad Bruce Willis movie or something. I didn't know what was happening.
Congratulations on your
Thank
Emmy.
You, Bean.
Congratulations
Thank
on the return of The Voice. We love you, Carson. It's always
Thank
great
you.
To
Thanks.
Have you.
Thanks. I love
your,
you. Thank
your
you.
Your old stomping ground here at K-Rock. Get back to your own
Thank
show,
you.
Man. We'll
I'll
talk
do.
To you soon. Monday morning on the world famous K-Rock. Thanks a lot for tuning in at 106.7 KROQ. Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat. By the way, Ralph, you and I both in our respective East Coast hometowns last week. How was your trip?
It was awesome. Had a blast. Always great to get there.
I was down in Washington, D.C. I know you were in Philadelphia. We got lucky considering what summer weather can be like. It was pretty pleasant, wasn't it?
It was gorgeous. It was just, 75 and sunny and no humidity, and it was just ridiculous. It was beautiful. It was much nicer than it was here in L.A.
Yeah, for sure.
L.A.'s been crazy lately. But back east is usually where you get that stifling humidity. Even in early fall, you get sort of that hot, sticky weather, but it was just beautiful. So,
and you saw one of the worst NFL games of all time in person?
It wasn't that bad. It wasn't Giants bad.
No, it wasn't. No, I'm not just talking about
some points.
No, I'm not talking about the Eagles loss. I'm talking about it was 10-6 and it was just boring. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, it's never boring in Philadelphia because there was a giant fist fight going on just below the press box. And
I forgot. I forgot it was in Philadelphia.
Yeah, there was lots of activity going on. And I was well too oiled to care, really, at that point. And I started drinking around 5 in the afternoon. So
welcome back. It's great to see you. Great to talk to you again. What's going on in showbiz?
I will have people know also who were emailing me about that game. Not once did anyone in that stadium boo Andy Reid when they introduced him or Donovan McNabb at the halftime when they retired his jersey. I was shocked.
That is shocking.
The level of class displayed by the Philadelphia Eagles fans before they started beating each other up in the stands. So, they were focusing their hostilities on each other, which I think is always a good sign. It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. As expected, Prisoners, the new Hugh Jackman thriller, debuted at number one, $21.4 million for Prisoners. Getting rave reviews on top of being a financial success. Jake Gyllenhaal, of course, co-stars, and Paul Dano, who just looks creepy as hell in that
yes,
film.
Yes, he does.
Not for nothing, and it's too late to talk about this practically, but I was in Philadelphia the weekend. I had some time to kill in the middle of the day, and my hotel was near a theater, so I just jumped in to see In a World, the film that was done by our good friend Lake Bell. She wrote and directed that film and stars in it as well. What an enormously entertaining film that is.
That's what I hear.
I had so
sad
much
I missed
fun.
It.
Oh, it was a blast. It's
how did Lisa not go
charming?
See it? Lisa, who does commercial voiceovers?
I lost. My boyfriend wanted to go see the Woody Allen movie, so we saw that instead.
Well, it's a good choice.
It was
too.
Really good.
But if you get a chance, if it, you can still find it around. In a World, it's called by Lake Bell. And Ken Marino is in it, and Dimitri Martin. Great cast. And very, very fun film. Really enjoyed that. Insidious Chapter 2 was second at the box office this weekend with $14.5 million. The Family was third, the Robert De Niro comedy. Instructions not included. And then Battle of the Year. Yeah, Chris Brown in the dance-off. Sawyer from Lost is his coach. What the hell? What the hell?
It does sound like a Saturday Night Live sketch, doesn't
no
it?
No way. No.
Not ever.
Right. Not now, not never. $5 million made it number five. We're the Millers was sixth. The Butler, Riddick, The Wizard of Oz, and re-release in 3D on the big IMAX screen. Made $3 million, good enough to make it number nine this weekend. And Planes, rounding out your top ten at the box office. The other big show business story, last night's Emmy Awards. Neil Patrick Harris was the host of the show, and they brought back all the other hosts of recent years to join him on stage in a very funny opening segment.
We've got clips coming up right after the top of the hour, including one from that with everybody up on stage.
Outstanding. Here are some of your selected winners. People walked away with the Emmys last night. Breaking Bad won for Best Drama Series. Lead actor in a drama series, Jeff Daniels, which, by the way, Harvey Levin just could not agree more with that choice, apparently. Jeff Daniels.
Loved it.
Winning for the newsroom. But Bryan Cranston's won a bunch of times.
Yeah.
So
yes.
You know, he's not been ignored by the Academy, like poor John Hamm, for God's sakes.
There is a point, though, at which it's not a fair fight because they're all great at what they do. How
right.
do you it's so arbitrary who wins.
And that's why you should be okay if any one of those guys wins. You say, all right, maybe not my favorite, but I certainly
right.
can see why he takes it away. Not Harvey.
And there's
not
politics.
Not yeah. I know. Harvey's hyperventilating over that choice. He's furious. No, sorry.
It's okay. Harvey. It's okay.
Lead actress in a drama series went to Claire Danes for Homeland. Bobby Cannavale won for Best Supporting Actor in a Drama for Boardwalk Empire and A Gun. Best Supporting Actress in a Drama for Breaking Bad. Best Comedy Series, Modern Family. Okay, we get it. You like Modern Family, Academy. We understand now. Jim Parsons for The Big Bang Theory. He was the best lead actor in a comedy. Lead actress went to Julie Louis-Dreyfus for Veep. Best Supporting Actor in a Comedy Series, also from Veep, Tony Hale. Merritt Weaver, who's so good on Nurse Jackie, even though it's not a comedy series. One for Best Supporting Actress in a Comedy Series. And Behind the Candelabra also did very well for itself. Michael Douglas winning. And the movie itself winning for Best TV Movie. And Elton John sang to Liberace. I thought that was sweet.
Wasn't it weird that they had pop music performances on the Emmys? I didn't remember them ever doing that before.
I didn't either. It was
Elton John out flogging his new album. And then they had Carrie Underwood singing a Beatles song. It was
yeah.
just weird.
It was kind of a revamped Emmy show this year. And I thought it was, overall, I thought the changes they made were for the better. Dina Lohan having a very bad month.
Oh, drunk Dina.
Yeah, she was slapped with a DUI, of course, last week. And now she is apparently will be headed to a local homeless shelter. Her bank, Chase, is foreclosing on her Long Island home, despite the fact that her daughter ponied up $40,000 grand to bail her out. Of DUI, it looks like she is tapped out. She has no money for her home payments, and so it looks like they're going to repossess that. And while we're talking about people in financial trouble, this just could not make me happier. Joe Francis, also apparently getting his home foreclosed upon.
Really?
Yeah.
Hasn't he made
millions.
Like $100 million?
He just filed for bankruptcy.
What?
In February.
That's shocking.
Owes over $127,000 in back mortgage payments. And the bank has started foreclosing procedures on his mansion in Bel Air, worth $11.4 million, by the way.
He's kind of a good guy, but he's also kind of a prick, too.
He's not kind of a good guy at all.
Not
he's
at
a
all.
Bad guy.
He's got a huge place in Cabo, too, I think.
Yeah. He's got a private island someplace, doesn't he?
I think so. I think
he's selling something, Joe. Anyway, Joe swears he's not going to go to jail, and he swears that this is not his accountant's going to take care of this problem, too. So he's living in denial. I like to see that. Today's celebrity birthdays.
Actor Mickey Rooney's 93 years old today. Many of you have no idea who I'm talking about.
Most of you.
But at one time, he was one of the biggest movie stars in the world.
Yeah. In spite of his diminutive stature.
Well said, Lisa. He's not a big man.
I didn't think I was going to get it out.
He's 93 today. Bruce Springsteen, 64. Actor Jason Alexander from Seinfeld turns 54. Chi McBride, very talented actor, is 52. Jermaine Dupri, rapper, producer, record head, 41 years old today. And Matt Kemp of your Los Angeles Dodgers, 29 years old today. Congratulations to the Dodgers for clinching. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
See, middleweight champion Chris Weidman joins us in studio in about 15 minutes or so from right now here on the Kevin Bean Show, talking about his upcoming bout against Anderson Silva, talking about the Jones fight this past weekend, and so much more that's going on with Chris. Fred Willard on the program today, and Taylor Schilling, Lisa from Orange is the New Black, coming up next hour.
Love her. She's awesome.
So excited about that. A lot of great show coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show, plus Depeche Mode tickets you can win. Right now, though, let's talk some Emmys. Lisa, you did not see any of the show last night.
I did not. I was, trying to kill myself with Hollywood Divers.
Trying to drown your boyfriend for some insurance money. I'm not sure how you thought that would work.
Yeah.
Well, I hate to spoil it for you because I know you're going to go home and watch some of it, but your boyfriend, Neil Patrick Harris, was the host again this year. And
of course, the best, right?
He always does a great job. There was a little bit of singing and dancing, but not at the top of the show, the way you normally see these awards shows going. They actually had a very clever bit where many of the previous hosts came out to give advice to Neil Patrick Harris. So on stage at one time, you had Jimmy Kimmel, you had Jimmy Fallon, you had Conan O'Brien, you had Jane Lynch, Tina Fey and Amy Poehler played into it, of course, doing some of these hosting duties lately. And it was actually pretty funny, some of the stuff they had going on. Here's Jimmy giving some advice to Neil Patrick Harris.
Just something to think about.
I get it.
They didn't ask Jane Lynch back, is what I'm saying.
Well, they didn't ask me back. And
so now Jane Lynch walks out.
I want to tell you why I wasn't asked back. I wasn't asked back because I'm a woman.
No. Jane, come on. I don't think anyone that watched you host that night thought of you as a woman.
Wow. I'm going to show you how much of a woman I am. Right here, right now, on this stage, Harris.
I wouldn't like it, Lynch.
I would like it less.
See, because they're both gay, and neither one of them would enjoy proving to each other how they're not. It was very funny. Of course, there's always singing and dancing. As I mentioned, they had a number in the middle of the show that had some surprise singers and dancers joining Neil Patrick Harris and the other entertainers on stage. And they were Nathan Fillion and Sarah Silverman.
What?
In a Hollywood song and dance number. What's up?
Hey, it's versatile actor Nathan Castle Fillion and Emmy-winning comedian Sarah, the Sarah Silverman program Silverman. What are you two doing here?
Neil, when we saw you start singing, we were blown away.
Thanks.
We knew we had to be a part of it, Neil.
So wait, you just arranged this cameo in the last, 90 seconds?
You're a great publicist.
Oh. Shut up, I'm gonna sing. A solo in the number in the middle of the show. You can't spell cameo without me.
We're completely live, so I'm really gonna try not to save a dime on TV.
Right, Sarah? Couldn't have not said it better myself.
One thing you can count on with Sarah Silverman is she'll always figure out a way to talk about her vagina when she's on national television.
It's a talent.
There were some great moments with the stars behind the microphones. I think Ralph made a reference earlier to Michael Douglas winning an Emmy for his great performance on Behind the Candelabra. He had one of the funniest acceptance speeches of the night, of course, talking about his co-star on the film, Matt Damon.
Thank you to my Academy fellow members. Thank you so much. And to the great performances by all the other nominees. But obviously, there's one nominee in particular that I have to really thank. This was a two-hander. And, Matt, you're only as good... you're only as good as your other hand. So, I can't tell you, you were magnificent. And the only reason I'm standing here is because of you. So, you really deserve half of this. So... do you want the bottom or the top?
Michael Douglas was having a great time on stage last night. Seemed to be very healthy, very happy. In case you were wondering, by the way, he did thank Catherine Zeta-Jones, his wife, in his acceptance speech.
Oh, that was nice.
And of course, they are estranged right now, so that was kind of nice. He also made a weird comment about not being able to visit his son Cameron, who I guess is in prison right now. He's in solitary confinement. He's the one who's had all the trouble with drugs over the years.
Yeah.
But it was weird in his Emmy speech to talk about how he couldn't visit his kid in prison. It was like, Wow, not the time, right?
A little bit of a downer.
Jeff Daniels had a very funny speech. He, of course, won for his role on The Newsroom.
Well, crap.
Well, crap is how he starts.
Didn't expect this. The last I usually don't win anything. The last thing I won was in a few years ago for Squid and the Whale. I won the Best Actor Over 50 from the AARP. With all due respect to the AARP, this is better.
Well, it is better. Sure, why not? Our friend Jimmy Kimmel had the best job of the entire night. He presented an award on stage with Sofia Vergara, who, by the way, is so beautiful and could not have maybe looked better last night than she's ever looked before. So here's our man Jimmy with Sofia, and they're very funny together, and I hope they get married.
I know for a fact that Jimmy Kimmel is really excited to be presenting this next award with them. I mean her. Please welcome Jimmy Kimmel and Sofia Vergara.
Hi. They say that the laughter is the best medicine.
But it's not. Laughter is actually terrible medicine.
If you go sick and the doctor just told you to laugh, you could sue him.
It's true. Not only isn't laughter the best medicine, you could choke on something while you're laughing and die.
You could be dead.
Laughter might actually be the worst medicine there is.
Laughter kills innocent people.
Here are the nominees for Best Murderer in a Comedy.
See.
Now, do you think Sofia Vergara, who's lived in this country for a long time, do you think she could speak with less an accent, but she knows how hilarious it is that she sounds the way she does? What do you think's going on with her?
I don't think she can.
You think that's it? That's all she can do? Well, it's working for her, I'll tell you that. Recapping last night's 65th Annual Emmy Awards that were broadcast on CBS, Will Ferrell, who always is great on every award show, came out to give the final awards of the night. And he came out in shorts and a T-shirt and flip-flops with a bunch of kids. And I guess they were his kids. And he explained how they all ended up on stage together.
Unfortunately, Helen Mirren and Maggie Smith dropped out at the last second, and they called me literally 45 minutes ago, and I couldn't find childcare, okay? And we had a soccer game, there was a neighbor's birthday party, a nut allergy, I didn't have time to do my hair. It doesn't matter, it's great to be here.
two more clips, one more from Neil Patrick Harris, who was hosting last night. This may be the first time anyone has ever made a reference, and especially a reference this graphic, to a Thailand sex show. Listen up and you'll see what I'm talking about.
These two performing sisters are much different than the performing sisters I saw in Thailand 3 years ago.
You see what he's doing there?
No.
He's making ping pong noises with his mouth. Neil Patrick Harris is talking about a ping pong show with girls.
Unbelievable.
In Thailand, which seems highly unlikely that he would have seen that. Right?
Please welcome Emily Deschanel and Zoe Deschanel.
By the way, note when you watch the tape later on today, Lisa, one or both of them, the Deschanel sisters, was incredibly high.
Oh, seriously?
I'm convinced of it. I'm absolutely convinced.
All right.
And finally, we've heard about it already. Now it's time to hear it in its entirety. The best acceptance speech of the night also happened to be the first Emmy awarded last night, and it was for Best Supporting Actress in a Comedy, Nurse Jackie's Merritt Weaver, who I have such a crush on. She plays Zoe on that show. Mm-hmm. She's also been a regular on The New Girl this season. She is hilarious. She is beautiful. She is funny. This is her speech.
Merritt Weaver, Nurse Jackie.
Makes her way to the stage.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Thank you so much. I gotta go. Bye.
Now, I was asking when I was watching this with my wife, I'm like, do you think she's just being funny? Like, she's, you know, it's comedy. Do you think she's just trying to make a joke? And she says, I don't know. Well, backstage, she said, I had nothing. I was terrified. I had no speech. I was not at all expecting to win. And that's how I got out of it.
Oh, bless her heart.
So, and she did it in a very, very funny way. So anyway, so that's it. Those are your highlights. Ralph's been giving you the big winners all day. So now, you know, last night's Emmys. We'll talk UFC with Chris Weidman right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, look at that. It's the champ, you guys. The All-American himself, Chris Weidman, woo! UFC middleweight champion of the world, joins us in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Chris. How you doing, buddy?
Doing well. How you doing?
Doing fine, thank you. You have had a, well, I mean, it's getting busy now because you're just in Toronto for the fight over the weekend, and now you and Anderson are out there just selling the fight. It's going on sale this Friday for just after Christmas, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So I was out in Toronto for those UFC fights and was really busy out there for the UFC and for some of my sponsors, and just got here now, and then now the fun begins.
I watched that little Q&A that you did ahead of the weigh-ins on Saturday, and it was super fun. And I had a couple questions about that. First of all, what's with the people who want to get in your face and say things like, hey, you know Silver's going to win, right? What are those people trying to get you to say or do when they come up and say something like that to you?
I think it's almost I don't know if they're trying to get a reaction out of me or they just want to be able to go home and be like, I said what I wanted to say to Chris Weidman, and now I'm tough and this and that. They could sleep better at night.
Like they feel better about themselves if they give you some lip because they know you can't do anything back?
Yeah, I mean, what am I going to do? Everyone has an opinion. Whatever. If they feel like saying on Twitter to me isn't enough and they have to say it to my face to feel like they're tough guys, then let them do it. It's all good.
Hey, you get the last laugh. You're the freaking champ, right?
Yeah, exactly.
There are people who are paying to watch you fight, so you already won.
Yep.
Ed, let's talk about that little kid. What was his name? Was it Avery? Was that the little kid who got up and did
that
little
that was his name. I brought him on stage twice, actually.
He had mad skills, didn't he, that little kid?
He actually was. He was impressive. Very impressive.
How old was that kid?
I don't know. I can't tell you, but let's just say 8.
Okay, he was 8. What do you think? You're a father. You've got young kids. Mm-hmm. What do you think about an 8-year-old who not only is not just in it for the it's not like he's just in it for the physical fitness, but he obviously watches UFC. He knows who the fighters are. Does that sit well with you? Like with that fight Saturday night with Jones, would you want an 8-year-old watching that fight?
I guess it depends. I mean, it depends on. I think the parents have to educate the kids on what it is and explain it to them. If you just, you know, have the kid just watching, a brutal fight and you're not telling them, you know, it's a sport and these guys, you know, respect each other. It's not like they're out on the street. They're drunk and they're trying, you know, hurt each other. It's just part of a sport where it's a competition.
So I mean, I guess what you're saying is you have to put it in context. It can't just be violence for the sake of violence. People have to understand that they're professionals and that there are rules and they train for it and they're not really going to get hurt and things like that. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, pretty much.
That kid, I swear to God, I feel like that's a video that we're going to look at in 10 years when he's a UFC champ. We're going to say, this was the little boy who jumped up on stage with Chris.
Yeah, he was a stud, man. And then I actually had another Q&A the day of the fight, and he came up on stage and it was raining out, and this guy's doing the same moves. And I was like, oh, please don't slip, man. Please don't slip.
I know you were afraid when you brought him up on stage and somehow you were going to get in trouble if something happened to him.
Yeah.
What'd you think of Saturday night? Was it one of the greatest fights in UFC history?
Yeah, I mean, I was right up front. I was right next to Dana pretty much. And so I had awesome views. Awesome to watch that fight. John Jones is obviously, you know, he's going up there with one of the best of all times right now. And Gustafson, no one was really giving him a shot. And I knew that Gustafson was really good. I trained with him before. So I knew if he went in there with confidence, it was going to be a really exciting fight. So he went in there with confidence, and it was, man. That fight was awesome.
It was incredible. Now, there was some controversy with fans about the judging. What did you think? Did you agree with the way the numbers fell?
Honestly, I would have to rewatch the fight again. When I was there, I was kind of like, wow, I don't know who won. I was actually kind of leaning towards Gustafson. But I need to rewatch it again. You know, being there live, you got a lot of distractions. You're not really I wasn't like focused on judging the fight. I was just enjoying the fight, you know. So I'd have to rewatch it again.
What did you think Gustafson's what was the surprise that he brought that you think was most effective against Jones?
Well, John Jones does a great job of getting guys, deceiving guys, getting guys to overcommit on things and getting the takedown. So he gets guys thinking he's going to strike with them and takes them down. Gustafson, he wasn't going in on things too much. He wasn't, you know, pursuing as much as most guys do. So he was touching him and then moving, touching him and going. So it was hard to really get his rhythm down for John Jones. And I think that frustrated him, couldn't get a takedown. And I think that's what made it exciting because I thought Gustafson was the better technical stand-up fighter. I think that elbow that John Jones landed in the fourth or whatever it was was really what won that fight. But
that absolutely, totally, yeah. That was the defining moment of the fight. You know what I was impressed with Jones, though, and maybe this is why he's been a been a champ for so long, is that he, you know, this was a challenger that a lot of people said was a no name guy. Who is he? Why is he? Why does he get a shot? Jones took him seriously. Like he didn't fool around like Silva did with you. He went out there and he gave him the respect that a viable opponent deserves. And thank God he did, because if without the mental attitude that he had, he would have lost that fight.
Oh, yeah. And I think, I mean, overconfidence could have played into that fight big time, because if he really was going to that fight, then he was just going to kill Gustafson. And then it started becoming a fight like that. That would just mentally just destroy you. So he was in there prepared for a war, and then you always kind of hope for a finish, you know. So he was mentally prepared the right way.
What was it like for you? And I know we got to take a break here with our guest Chris Weidman here on the Kevin Bean Show, UFC middleweight champ. What was it like for you attending this fight as the champ, walking around? Was it just, were you just mobbed everywhere you went in Toronto this weekend?
Yeah, it was crazy. You know, a lot of awesome fans out there, and yeah, I was obviously noticed everywhere I went, and you know, took pictures and stuff like that, and signed autographs. It was a cool experience. A lot of times with the fights, they have that thing down pat. You kind of walk in, you do some autographs when people are screaming at you, and then from there you get walked back into the back, with security. You take different elevators up and around. So usually it's not too crazy at the fights, but during the whole weekend, I had a lot of appearances and stuff like that. I got to meet a lot of fans.
Hey, but that's part of the fun part of the job. I mean, being the champ is fun, I would imagine, right? Like, enjoy it while you got it. No one knows if you're going to be the champ for 3 months or 10 years, so you just love every minute of it, right?
Yep.
All right, Chris Weidman is here on the Kevin Bean Show. We have so much to talk about. UFC 168, obviously, is going to be one of the greatest nights in UFC history. That's coming up on Saturday, December the 28th at the MGM Grand Garden in Las Vegas. Tickets are going on sale this Friday morning at 10. You can meet Chris and Anderson Silva, too, today in Southern California. We'll tell you about that and talk more with Chris in a moment on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Taylor Schilling, star of Orange is the New Black on Netflix, joins us next hour on the Kevin Bean Show. Also, the great Fred Willard will be here, and tickets for Depeche Mode and a meet and greet with the band at Staples Center this weekend. That's all on the way here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Right now, though, we're talking UFC middleweight champion Chris Weidman in studio with us here on the Kevin Bean Show.
Hey.
He is in town for... That was a less than enthusiastic yay, Chris. Come on.
I'm cheering for myself.
Show business, man. What do you got going on? You and Anderson are going to be where? At the UFC gym in Torrance this afternoon at 4 o'clock. What's going on? What's the haps for the fans today?
What are we doing over there? I believe we're doing a Q&A. So I think we all sit on the stage and you guys ask us questions. Or I could be completely wrong. I think it's going to be a great surprise for everybody.
I think it is a Q&A. I think fans do get to meet you. It is free. It is open to the public. Again, it's at the UFC gym in Torrance at 4. And I think your moderator is going to be Mr. Dana White himself, president of the UFC, is going to be moderating that this afternoon.
That's a big deal.
You and Anderson are going to Las Vegas, New York, Bristol, Connecticut, Miami, Rio, Sao Paulo. What's it like hanging out with a guy? What's it going to be like traveling with a guy this week and seeing a guy almost every day that you're going to be trying to knock his head off in a couple of months?
I don't know. Yeah, I'll let you know after doing it, because who knows? I don't know how it's going to be set up. Are we on the same plane? I have no idea what's going on. But at the end of the day, we just got, whether it's I'm fighting a friend or not, it's just a competition to me. I go in there and I work hard. I spar all my a couple of my best friends a couple of times a week, and every single time I'm trying mentally and physically break them. It doesn't matter if they're my friend or not. Once we get in there, it's about, going to work.
But people are always asking you, like, if you would fight GSP, and you always say, no, I wouldn't. And it's partly, it seems like, because you guys are friends. So if you grow to like Anderson this week, what's that mean for December 28th?
No, the GSP thing, he's a great guy. We trained together, but it has nothing to do with that. I mean, he's a 170-pounder. I'm 85-pounder. I'm not going to be starting talking about I want to fight GSP.
Right. It's weird that people always ask you that, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
How much time have you spent with Anderson Silva since you beat him?
No time. This will be the first time we're going to be spending time together.
Wow. How about that?
Yeah.
Take me back to what was the date of that fight when you became the champ?
The 6th, July 6th.
Okay, July 6th. Now it's starting to come out more and more as you're the champion and people are talking about the storylines leading up to the rematch. We're hearing more and more from people who say, you have no idea what Chris Weidman's life was like before he became the champ. It was rough. Were you homeless or close to it, Chris?
No.
Or is that an exaggeration?
I'd say a little exaggeration. I have a great family. I my house got ruined to the point I couldn't live in there. So homeless, as far as I didn't own a house, yes, I guess you could lean on and say that. But I went in the same town. I went to my parents' house with my family. I mean, we lived in one room in my parents' house, but we weren't homeless. We had a house to be in.
What was wrong with your house? What do you mean it got ruined?
Hurricane Sandy. Hurricane Sandy. We lived on the water, so we had our whole first floor, old garage, everything got completely ruined. All our landscaping, the sides of the house, mm-hmm. tops of the house, the roof, everything.
Like thousands of other people. Wow,
yes,
that's rough.
Yes.
What city do you live in?
Bolden, New York.
And you were not obviously when you're new-ish in the UFC game, you're not making a lot of money. You're pretty much just getting by, right?
Yeah, no, it was tough times, but there was a lot of people at the time that I knew were going through a lot worse of a time. One of my neighbors, he was like 80 years old. Him and his wife were living in the house. They only had one floor. I had two floors, so they had nowhere to come back to. Everything had to be redone mm-hmm. before they were able to live there again. And they had no family and neighbor they just could go to and sleep at and have a warm bed. So there was people like that that had it a lot worse that I didn't feel bad for myself at all. We were good. We're young. I took my kids. We just went to my parents' house. It wasn't the easiest thing in the world. Inconvenience. But
at least you had somewhere to go. Yeah. Which, like you said, a lot of people didn't. What was your mindset like, if you can take me back to? I mean, did it seem like the impossible dream that you could win? Or as you got closer to the fight, did you really see something in Anderson Silva that made you think and honestly believe, not hope, but believe that you were going to win that fight?
No, I believe, since I got into the sport, MMA, he was the champ. And I only got into the sport because I wanted to be champion. So since day one, I've been envisioning fighting Anderson, and I was able to finally get to the opportunity to fight him. And I really, truly believed I was going to beat him since the day I was signed that fight. I knew I was winning this fight. I wasn't losing. This is the opportunity I wanted, and I was going to do everything I can in my power to win that fight. Ended up happening.
When he was clowning you in the ring, did it make you mad?
Yeah, I didn't realize it. We brought in all these different sparring partners, and we had them doing that stuff to me because we know Anderson does that. And it never really affected me in sparring. I was like, yeah, whatever, just keep working. When he started doing the fight, I was saying the same thing, just stay focused, keep moving forward, keep doing what I do. But it got to the point where he was doing it so much, I'm like, you're not even hitting me. If you're hitting me and you're trying to embarrass me and make me feel like like I don't belong in the cage with you, I could understand that you're trying to finish me, but you're not hitting me. Hit me, and then you can start talking. And then so it just got to the point like, yo, stop. And then I
just stopped
threw it. Enough punches until I hit him.
What do you think, and I know I'm asking you to guess here, but what do you think his demeanor is going to be like in the ring on December 28th? Do you think he would dare act like that again, or do you think he's going to have to show up and take you seriously as a man who beat him?
No, every one of his fights, that's what he does. It's part of what makes him great. He gets in your head. He tries to get into guys' heads. He puts his hands down. And people have to realize when your hands are down, his thing is not wrestling. He's not that good at wrestling. But when your hands are down, it's hard to take a guy down. So it's almost a good takedown defense for his head, hands to be down. He doesn't have to worry about the takedown as much. So who knows how he's going to come out. It doesn't really matter to me. I'm going to expect the unexpected. Just walk forward and stick to my game plan.
What's it like walking around with that belt all the time? You said you have to always take it with you wherever you go.
Yeah, all on the press stuff, I have to bring it. But it's heavy. It's annoying. I have to bring it to the airports and stuff like that. It always gets, I put it in my carry-on. So people are like, what is in your bag? And then, the security. And then I have to tell
them. Yeah, because through the x-ray, it looks like, like a machine gun or something.
Yeah.
It's just this giant piece of, why would somebody bring this huge piece of metal through, right?
So annoying.
What does it weigh, Chris?
I don't know exactly how much it weighs. I think it's almost 30 pounds total.
Jeez.
Wow, that is a lot to carry.
It's
on.
Heavy, yeah.
I guess they don't need bodyguards with it like they do with the Stanley Cup, because you're the freaking UFC champion. Nobody's going to try to steal it from you, right?
Yeah, hopefully.
What do you think it's, not to set you up here, but what do you think it's worth?
Well, supposedly, I got to find out the truth behind this. Well, I'll probably find out on this trip as Dana. But I think it's... There was a YouTube video that came out saying it was $333,000 worth of gold.
No.
And just gold without the actual the meaning behind what the UFC championship belt means. So that would obviously add a lot of value to that. Because I guess Forrest Griffin went on a some TV show with a couple gold like experts, and that's what they said.
That's unbelievable.
I don't know if they were just – I don't know if it's just TV. But I'm like, wow, this is a
I would never want to be responsible for something that's worth that much.
Because no one told me. No one really told me, hey, really take care of this belt. And like, no one even told me that. So I left it in my car for a week. It was like melting. You know, so now I'm like, wow, we really have to take care of this thing.
I hope they don't take that out of your paycheck if you lose it or something.
Well, actually, you get to keep this belt forever. You know?
Oh, it's
so
yours.
I get this forever. So I win again, I get another one and another one.
Wow. Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome.
If they do. You know, if it is valued at that, it's great for me. It's a great payday.
That's your retirement plan. Selling the belt on eBay.
And you know, gold is good.
That's right. All right, let me give out the information again before you have to go, Chris. We know you have a busy day today. You're going to be at the UFC gym in Torrance at 4 o'clock with a Q&A with UFC President Dana White. You're going to be there along with Anderson Silva. This is free and open to the public for people who want to come on down. And don't forget, tickets go on sale this Friday, September 27th at 10 via Ticketmaster for the main event, UFC 168 Weidman versus Silva 2 World Middleweight Championship rematch. It's going to be in Las Vegas at the MGM Grand Garden Arena. Any final thoughts before you walk out the door, sir?
No, I appreciate you guys having me on, and make sure to watch December 28th. It's going to be a great fight.
You know we will. Come back anytime, Chris. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Slightly stupid. That one's for you, Beer Mug.
I'm the world famous K-Rock.
He called you stupid.
Just slightly. 106.7 K-Rock. Taylor Schilling from Orange is the New Black coming up. Also the great Fred Willard after the top of the hour. Hey, Ralph Garman.
What's up, Bean Baxter?
What's going on with you, man?
How was your very exciting college radio station all classes reunion?
Thank you for asking. I had a great time. It was a lot of fun.
I can imagine.
Went back to University of Maryland.
Just a big bunch of just nerds of all ages. Just
the mighty WMUC celebrating its 65th anniversary this year.
Talk about how they used to put those pots up and when they would spin those platters. That must have been quite the festive event. I can only imagine.
How could I pass up an opportunity to be in a room with a bunch of guys in radio? Come on, Ralph. You know me. You know me.
For a college radio station. That's a vacation, people. Yep. That's what he did on his vacation.
I'm bored. Yeah.
Thank you for asking. It was super fun.
No, it wasn't. I know. Of all the things it was, super fun wasn't one of them.
All the best radio is on AM. We all know that.
Coming out of colleges. Right. Madness. Before I get to showbiz news, how would you like to go see Machete?
Yeah!
Machete Kills, the second of the Machete films, second of which I hope is like a 12-film franchise. I hope they just keep making these.
Hello, Machete. This is Machete.
Sure, you'd like to see it for anybody else. It's in theaters everywhere on Friday, October the 11th. Sure, you want to see it before that. But how would you like to see it? At the red carpet world premiere of Machete Kills.
Machete.
That's October the 2nd at LA Live.
This is Machete.
This is what I'm going to do for you, my friends. 1-800-520-1067. You call that number. You're one of the first five people to get through. What's going to happen? You're going to get pair passes to the red carpet world premiere of
Machete Kills. He knows the score.
He does.
He gets the women.
That's right.
And he kills the bad guys.
He does all those things. That's all you want in a movie, really. A guy who knows the score, gets all the women, kills the bad guys.
And Sofia Vergara with a bullet bra.
Yes, shooting bullets out of her boobs.
Yeah, that's what you want in a movie.
Aye, Poppy. Call now. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. We do it every Monday morning. Prisoners. The new Hugh Jackman thriller, $21.4 million, made it number one in its debut. Insidious Chapter 2 was second, then The Family was number three. Instructions not included. Battle of the Year. That's right, you heard me. Battle of the Year. Dance crews going against each other. Sawyer from Lost calling the shots. Chris Brown smacking people around.
Why is it that Chris Brown keeps threatening to retire but then continues to work?
I think this movie was made like 3 years ago, so you really can't hold this one against him.
Okay.
It's been on the shelf for some time. We're the Millers, sixth, then The Butler, Riddick. The re-release of The Wizard of Oz in 3D and IMAX was number ninth, and then Planes, number 10. Last night, the big Emmy Awards were held here in Los Angeles. Here are some of your selected winners of people who
took their Emmys home. Best drama series, Breaking Bad. As we say goodbye to that classic series, they get a little love from the Emmy people. Lead actor in a drama series, Jeff Daniels. Lead actress in a drama series, Claire Danes. Best supporting actor and actress in a drama series, respectively, Bobby Cannavale, for Boardwalk Empire, and Anna Gunn for Breaking Bad. Best comedy series, Modern Family, once again. Lead actor in a comedy series, once again, Jim Parsons for The Big Bang Theory. He was the fifth person in Emmy history to win lead actor in a comedy three times. Wow. This is his third Emmy for this role.
Wow, okay.
I like Big Bang Theory. I think it's a very entertaining show. But mm-hmm. the fact that he keeps winning Best Comic Actor year after year after year is a little beyond me.
Mm-hmm.
I could see it given to him once.
Right.
The other guys, by the way, if you're interested, the other actors who have won three times for the same role in a comedy series, Don Adams for Get Smart.
Oh, really?
Yeah. John Lithgow for Third Rock from the Sun. Mm-hmm. Tony Shalhoub for Monk. And then Dick Van Dyke for the Dick Van Dyke Show.
So it's good company. Yeah.
Best lead actress in a comedy series, Julie Louis-Dreyfus. Supporting actor and actress in a comedy series, Tony Hale for Veep and Merritt Weaver for Nurse Jackie.
Did you watch much of the Emmys last night?
I didn't see any of the Emmys last night. I was on a plane. Yeah.
Okay. You watch Veep, though.
I do. I love the Veep.
They did a bit last night. Lisa, you'll love this so much, where Julia Louis-Dreyfus gets up and wins her Emmy, and she has Tony Hale behind her feeding her lines in her acceptance speech, just like they do as, you know, on the Veep. And it was, it looked like it had been rehearsed 50 times. It was so perfectly done.
That's
just
great.
Amazing comic timing.
That show is great.
Great bit, yeah. And Julia Louis-Dreyfus deserves every Emmy she's ever won. I know she's won a bunch of them.
Yeah, I want to see that Enough Said, too, that new movie she's got with James Gandolfini. Looks good. Today's celebrity birthdays, Matt Kemp of your Los Angeles Dodgers. He's 29 years old today. Jermaine Dupri, rapper, producer, record head. He's 41. Chi McBride, very talented actor, is 52. Jason Alexander of Seinfeld fame is 54. The only guy I've seen who has a male pattern hair regrowth. I've never seen that in an older gentleman before. Bruce Springsteen, 64. And legendary actor Mickey Rooney. He, what would you know him from? Nothing. You don't know who he is at all. There's no way for me to explain to you who Mickey
Rooney
is.
Just outliving everyone else on Earth.
That's right.
Breakfast at Tiffany's.
There you go. Beer Mug knew something. He did a horribly racist performance as a Japanese gentleman in a movie called Breakfast at Tiffany's. That's true.
That was certainly his most offensive role.
Certainly was. They put slanted eyes on him and makeup and giant teeth. And he would talk like this. Oh, yes, I mean like a very much. It was just unbelievably racist.
Like he would be in prison if he did that.
Yes, yes. He is 93 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hey, listen up. K-Rock is taking over Six Flags Magic Mountain this Saturday. We're going to have four packs of tickets every 30 minutes from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. all week long. And that includes this morning. So starting in less than 1 hour from right now, you can win four packs for Six Flags Magic Mountain. That's coming up in the Kevin Bean Show. Still have Depeche Mode tickets that you could win. And also from Orange is the New Black actress Taylor Schilling will be here.
Yes.
So last night were the Emmys. The big comedy award went to a little show called Modern Family. Steve Levitan was accepting for the group last night. He's the guy who runs that show. He had a very funny speech. He said this.
Well, this may be the saddest Emmys of all time, but we could not be happier.
The saddest Emmys of all time. Aww. Modern Family won. Phil Dunphy's dad on that show, Frank, is played by the great Fred Willard, who joins us here on the Kevin Bean Show right now. Hey, Fred, welcome back, my friend. How are you?
Thank you. Thanks for talking to me.
It must have been fun for you if you were watching last night to see your Modern Family friends win again.
Yeah, I don't know if I won anything or not. Did they mention my name? You see, I haven't watched it yet. I T-voted.
I don't believe you won, but you have been nominated for a bunch of Emmys.
Nominated for costumes last night for Dancing with the Stars, too, and I don't think I won.
Hey, Fred, you have a great event coming up this Saturday that I'm going to get to. I want to talk about because I love animals and animal charities as much as you do, and I really want to make sure people come out to see your awesome event. But I have something I've been wanting to ask you, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Your friend Christopher Guest, who, of course, you've worked with many, many times in movies and on TV.
Uh-huh.
Who we love so much, and we've always wanted to get him on the program. And he was doing some press for Family Tree, the show that you guys did together recently.
Uh-huh.
And he was scheduled to be on the Kevin and Bean Show and called and canceled the day before, saying that he was afraid of coming on the radio to talk to people. Is he like a painfully shy guy or is it just us, or does he not like doing interviews because he doesn't like talking to the press? What's his deal?
I don't think he likes doing interviews, but I don't think he's that shy. I don't know why he wouldn't want to come on and talk to you. I don't know.
We were so surprised because we're such huge fans, and it's not like we're a shock jock show where we were going to, you know, embarrass him or anything. Like, I mean, we literally are just such huge fans. We just wanted to talk to him, and we loved Family Tree so much, and we talked about it all the time. And it just kind of broke our hearts a little bit. We were hoping it wasn't anything we did.
Oh, no, I don't think so. He's kind of reclusive. I think he would rather do these movies and just have them come out and nobody go to see them and then go away. But I've done four movies with him, and he's just starting to get friendly with me.
Is he one of those guys who he calls and just leaves a message and tells you where to show up, and you're just there? You don't even have to know what it is. You just know you're going to love it?
No, oh, yes. Well, no, he'll call, and it's always good news when he's on the phone. And he kind of tells me that what they're planning to do and what my character is going to be. And I always tell him, well, count me in, and then we go from there. So, yeah, he's a lot of fun to work with, though. He's really terrific.
Well, one of the roles that you made so memorable was in his film Best in Show, and you and your partner Jim Pittock there played the guys who did the commentary on the Westminster-type dog show.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, it's one of those movies that if it comes on, you can't not watch it because it's so funny, it's so hilarious, it's got such a great cast. And you did some of the best ad-libbing you've ever done in your life, and you're giving people an opportunity to see you and Jim do it again together live this weekend for the first time. Tell us about it, Fred.
That's true, and the event is called Best in Show. It's put on by the group Actors and Others for Animals, and one of the segments is going to be that Jim and I are going to review a video of celebrities or people's pets that they send in, and we will decide who is best in show. And I kind of have a feeling we'll give awards to more than just one animal because, you know, you start seeing them and there's something very – a lot of fun about any of the animals.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So it's Saturday at the University of Hilton and Towers Ballroom in Universal City.
Yes.
And tickets are available right now, and there's all sorts of things going on. There's a no-host cocktails and silent auction. There's a vegetarian luncheon. There's the program. There's the show. You're going to be there, a bunch of other stars. Lots of videos from people like Ed Begley and Weird Al. And you guys are going to be doing live play-by-play commentary
right there in the
ballroom for people.
What did you say?
Right, you're going to be doing the play-by-play right there in the ballroom.
It's going to be live, no retakes. And they have a nice list of celebrities are going to be there. I understand Tippi Hedren's going to be there, Connie Stevens, Leonard Maltin, Jay Johnson, the ventriloquist, Susan Sullivan. So it's going to be an exciting afternoon. And if they come, you know, you'll be done by about 2 in the afternoon, and there'll be prizes. And these events, they're always a lot of fun. I've been involved in these several times.
What is it about animal charities that has you making your time on a weekend to spend with? Does it go back to you as a boy with a pet? Or how'd you fall in love with animals, Fred?
I had a pet, a little Cocker Spaniel dog, for a short time. As a youngster, and I loved him, and my folks finally, he didn't belong in the city, so they sent him to someone who had a nice farm, and I said to the people, I said, can I come out and visit him all the time, and they said, oh, anytime you want, but I never did, but I always remember the dog, and I just have a very fondness for animals, because, you know, they can't help themselves, they have to depend on people who...
Yeah.
To take care of them, so they're at the mercy of a lot of bad things.
Absolutely. I hope, Fred, and I know you just had a birthday. We wished you well on the radio last week.
Thank you very much.
I think you just turned 74, and I hope you have a lot of years left. But I hope nobody ever tells you what it means for real when your parents tell you that your dog went to live on a farm.
No, it is either. Jesus and Mary who came to pick him up, or there were two farmers. The other day I could have, clocked them and kept track of them. But
This event is great for animal lovers or people who just love Fred Willard. Again, it's going to be on Saturday afternoon at the Universal Hilton and Tower Ballrooms in Universal City. By the way, tax-deductible donation if you want to contribute.
Yeah,
reservations,
you bet. Sure.
Reservations are available at actorsandothers.com. Actorsandothers.com. The best in show celebrity pet competition. It sounds like it's going to be an awesome event on Saturday. Fred, we love you, man. It's always a pleasure to have you on the Kevin Bean Show. Thank you for the time.
Talking to you, too. Thank you.
Take care, sir. Bye-bye. I don't know if I want to be hanging out with prisoners, Lisa. How do you feel about it?
Well, it depends on the prisoner, I think.
Don't we have a no felony policy on this program? What's the deal? Ladies and gentlemen, she is one of the great stars on Netflix's hit show Orange is the New Black. Please welcome Taylor Schilling to the studio here on the Kevin Bean Show.
You're too much.
Hi, Taylor.
Hi, Bean. I love that song.
Something about, the great Regina Spektor.
Oh,
she wrote
that for the
show, right?
She did. And you know, I'm still waiting. Like one of my I'm going to be really excited the day that I can meet her. I haven't met her yet.
Yeah, you guys will have some sort of an event or a party or something like that eventually.
I'm going to totally geek out when I.
No, she's awesome. I've been a fan of hers for a long time. She's like Russian or something, right?
She is.
Or from Russia, isn't she?
She's brilliant. Her songs have like been with me for a long time. Anyway, I'm really glad to be here.
We're happy to have you. Now, Taylor, I should say up front,
yes,
because for people who watched the Emmys last night and were outraged that your show was nowhere to be found, you guys were not eligible for last night's Emmys,
right?
Yeah,
totally. We weren't eligible.
Okay, good. So we
went to hang out.
So last night you would have been rooting for your House of Cards label mates, I guess, because they're
so excited for David Fincher.
Yeah.
He won. That was really, really neat.
It's a game changer. I mean, we've talked a lot about it on this show how there were references all over the Emmy telecast last night about how entertainment has changed and whatever screen you're watching, it doesn't really matter if it's your phone, your computer, your TV.
They really did, and
thank God they did. Thank God they're not hanging on to the old model of it's just TV and everybody tunes in, gets around the TV and watches everything at the same time. When Orange is the New Black came along and you as an actress, did you understand how great it was going to be, or were you a little bummed out thinking, oh, we're not going to be on TV?
Oh no, I didn't. I really responded so immediately and viscerally to the script. I really felt like, wow, this is something special. These are women that you don't see anywhere on any platform, on film, television, web series. I don't know. You know, you don't see these kind of characters.
Yeah, the only women in prison I ever see are in porn.
Well, there you go. There you go. I mean, and that says that, there you go. And I mean, honestly, like, taking it out of the context of prison, I mean, seeing women that don't necessarily line up with the ideals that our culture has set forth, you know, this like sort of very rigid notion of what it is to be a woman. And I think it's very exciting. It's very exciting to play people that don't kind of line up with the cultural norm.
Well, I want to talk a lot about the show, but just let me wrap up my point on the distribution, because, you know, the Netflix is a new model and it has been enormously successful for your program. But it was disorienting for me because I, like millions of other people, Lisa was the same way. Once we started watching your show, we binge watched I watched the whole series in 2 weeks or something like that. And then it was weird to kind of not have what I was used to, which is the week to week conversation in the media and with my friends about what happened on quote unquote last night's show, because that just doesn't exist in this new format.
Isn't it wild? It's like things are changing. I think it's like the way things are changing now, you know, we have access to so much different information all the time. So it's, That I just feel like across the board, that idea of, you know, having someone else dictate how we consume our information or our entertainment just doesn't exist anymore, because it's all available. It's all available. So it's almost like we have to become self-regulating, because
binge watching is what she's saying. It's not good for you.
You mean go outside once in a while, leave my house? But it also puts us on doing a radio show. And by the way, what you're talking about, I mean, we have tons of listeners who listen on podcasts all over the world. They don't have to be in LA and they don't have to be listening to the radio, but they still can enjoy the show.
That's the same idea. It's like a podcast on a broader scale.
But it does make it weird, in, just in terms of spoiler alerts.
Yeah, that's my next question. Yes. What should my policy be? Because there is no Orange is the New Black season, so there are people who are going to start it today, but there are people like me who watched it 4 months ago. So when can I talk about what happens on the show? I can't ever, really.
I don't know. I think that's a question you have to ask yourself, Bean.
Search your soul.
You have to search your own soul for that.
Maybe next year's Emmys, then you can start talking about it.
Exactly. Maybe that shifts with whoever you're talking to. You can say, hey, have you seen episode la 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 la?
Yes. Right, exactly. All right, Taylor Schilling is here. The show is called Orange is the New Black. I don't have to tell people what it is, but it is available season one on Netflix now, season two currently in production. We are going to talk about some of the awesome people on your show, the people who make the show, the people who direct the show, the people who act in the show, the people who write the show, and you and our friend Jason Biggs are just adorable too. So more with our guest Taylor Schilling right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Taylor Schilling from Orange is the New Black. How are you?
Hey.
I'm just glad you didn't get up and run away.
Sorry.
We have so many pretty girls that leave after one conversation with me, but you stuck around for a second one, so I want to thank you for that.
I'm having a ball.
Orange is the New Black. I know you must be sick of talking about it, but you should be so proud of
that's
the show.
Right. I'm so proud. I'm not sick of it. I could talk about it until... You know, the proverbial cows come home.
Hey, my cows are dead, and that's a painful memory.
Are they?
So please don't bring
that
up.
I'm sorry. Did you eat them? Sorry, that's wrong.
That hurts. Let's pretend for a moment there are people who have heard the name but know nothing about the show.
Yes.
How do you introduce people to Orange who haven't seen it yet?
Well, you know, I think it's about a woman who is, you know, a middle class white lady who's sort of maintaining the status quo and going about her life in the way that she thinks it should be lived, in the way that she's been taught that it should go, and a mistake that she made 10 years ago comes back to haunt her, and she gets sent to a federal penitentiary for 15 months.
Rut-row.
And
she is ill prepared for prison. It is not her jam, right?
Not at all. You know, I don't think it's the jam. I don't know who jam prison is.
I don't know who jams with
prison.
But didn't have any friends, or her character had no friends. At least there are some people
who have friends, right? Well, I mean, and that's, I think, what the show also deals with. I think that it deals with the idea that it's an incredibly stratified system in our country. That it's why is it a story that, you know, a white woman goes to prison, and it's a story and it's a New York Times bestselling book, but they're, you know, over 80% of the prison population is women who are of color with children in there for nonviolent drug related offenses, and nobody really talks about them, but it's normal for them to be in prison.
I know very little about prison, except, like most people, except what I've seen on movies and TV. But I was expecting a lot of things that didn't happen on Orange is the New Black. For instance, I thought it would be way more racist in prison. Now, of course, you do see the groups of the Latinas who sit together and the African-Americans who sit together and the white. But it seems like your character mixed it up and soon had friends of all races pretty easily. Was that the real Piper's experience in prison?
Well, yeah, I think that prison is what we do talk about. It's like, you know, it is stratified. It is segregated based on race. I mean, there are different groups that take care of themselves in different ways. In prison, the ghetto is where the black women are, and then there's an area called Spanish Harlem where the Latinas are, and then the suburbs are where the white ladies live. But one thing that I do think is interesting is that within that space, what keeps people going, and what Piper talks about a lot in her experience is that the relationships between women, and it's the social system, and it's the social bonds that sort of keep you moving forward. So in that sense, it's almost a supportive place. You can't make it on your own in prison. So you kind of have to overcome your ideas of who you think you are, or who you think the people you relate to are.
And that's the lesson that is very difficult for your character to learn, that you see her understand. She goes into prison, and this is not a spoiler alert, but she goes into prison thinking she doesn't belong there and she's better than everyone else. And she realizes that's the story for all of those women.
That's an interesting interpretation.
Am I wrong?
No, I think it's interesting. I mean, I think that the idea that you sort of have to stand still and be completely removed from the culture at large to sort of figure out who you really are. She can't be with other people. She doesn't even know who she is. She doesn't know who she is until she comes to prison. She has no idea. She has no idea. She hasn't touched the truth of who she really is. It's too scary to do.
And she's forced
to do that when she's in behind bars.
And I think because of what you just said, I think that Piper is one of those people, and partly because she has a support system to help her when she gets out. She has a life to go back to, a lot of those women don't. But I think prison ends up being good for her. I think it ends up making her a better person.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, she's living on the surface a bit before she goes in there. And who knows? You know, I'm really curious about those moments when life sort of smacks you in the face and you have to do things differently. There's no going back. She can't continue to sweep under the rug the stuff that she's swept under the rug and just sort of said, like, I'm a nice blonde white lady, not even knowing that that's who she really, what she's doing. But she can't do that anymore. She has to go to prison. She has to, you know, look at things in a different way. And her, you know, worldview expands tremendously.
And all the skills, quote unquote, that she had before prison, they do her no good.
No good. Nope.
Yeah.
They don't mean anything.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think it's that idea of kind of getting completely stripped away. All your kind of BS gets stripped away. And then it's like, who am I? If I'm not my relationship, if I'm not a sister, if I'm not my job, if I'm not my identity, if I'm not, you know, I don't even think she was aware of, you know, it's like I'm a white woman in the world. I have all this privilege. If that's not who I really am, who am I?
And I'm somebody who needs to learn how to shiv a bitch. That's who I am.
Shiv a bitch. Shank a bitch. There you go.
The Orange is the New Black, available through Netflix, of course. Season one is currently available. We can't more strongly urge you to watch every single episode as fast as you can. Season two is currently in production. I want to talk for a minute before we have to let you go, Taylor, about this phenomenal cast that you have. I mean, I was sad that you weren't eligible for Emmys this year, because I swear to God, if Taryn Manning doesn't win one for Pensatucky, then the Emmys need to just fold up, because that is an unbelievable performance.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think it's unreal. Amazing.
Yeah, she is.
And there's so many other great actresses on this show, a lot of whom I'd never seen before. Danielle Brooks, who plays Tasty, is incredible. She just breaks your heart. Uzo Adubu, who plays Crazy Eyes, is one of the most hilarious performances I've ever seen.
She's fascinating to watch.
Oh, isn't she?
Yeah,
she's brilliant.
Yeah, she really is.
Kate Mulgrew, I didn't even recognize through the first episode, who's playing Red, who's the cook on the show. Oh. She, of course, from Star Trek. She's incredible. And talk a little bit about the two relationships that your character has. The first with Laura Prepon. Talk about her on the show, because she's amazing as well.
She is absolutely amazing. Well, that Piper had a relationship that they were in a relationship when Piper got out of college, and then Alex was a drug runner. Alex played by Laura Prepon, and Piper ended up transporting drug money over international borders for her, and that's end up, you know, why she ends up in jail. But they were deeply in love. That was, you know, they were. But I think Alex is one of the loves of Piper's life, and if not the love. And then they, she has to reconcile with that again.
They're not only in love; they're in a shower together. And I just, again, I only say that because I really do want people to watch your show. So I'll do whatever it takes.
Well, thank you, Bean. I mean, thank you. I think that will help, won't it?
And finally, our friend Bigsy, and I want to play this clip from the show because this gives you an idea of how freaky it is for this couple that's engaged to be married. They think they're having the, you know, the normal suburban life. And now all of a sudden, you know, Piper goes to prison. So here's her fiancé talking to her in one of their early visits in prison. You get an idea of how crazy this is for this relationship.
I'm wearing granny panties and I've only spoken to white people.
You joining the Aryan Nation?
I don't know, but there's a nun here. And you're not allowed to sleep in your bed, only on top of it.
That's weird.
I know, right? And when I got here, they gave me these little bars of hotel soap, but no shampoo. But I think that I can borrow some from other white people. I love you so much. One of my roommates had a massive heart attack when she got here.
Okay, you are not allowed to have a heart attack.
I think that's good advice.
The show is awesome. It is called Orange is the New Black. Please get it from Netflix. Taylor Schilling, thank you so much for coming in. We really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much for having me. You guys are so lovely.
Oh, well, we love your work.
Thank you so much for having me. It really, this is a pleasure. I wish I could see your face. Or maybe I'll
show you a picture. You have no idea how handsome I am.
Thank you so much.
Catch an exclusive look at Thor: The Dark World during the television premiere of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. September 24th on ABC. Check your local listings. Thor: The Dark World, only in theaters November 8th. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Get it right, woman.
That was a tough one.
No, it's not.
It was a little hard.
Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Greatest show ever on television.
Greatest show ever on television.
Oh, can't wait. Cannot wait for that show.
When does that start, first of all?
Lisa?
September 24th on ABC.
Thank you. Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night. And where's Clark Gregg on the Kevin and Bean show is what I want to know.
He doesn't like you, he told us.
Did you know how much I love Clark? He's my favorite. Yeah. He's the best.
Does not like you, so won't do the show.
Andrew Siciliano recaps the NFL weekend for us coming up, and Carson Daly from The Voice will be in here with his Emmy in hand. How about that coming up in the next half hour here on K-Rock? First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Monday. Good morning.
I think maybe you're missing the point. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes, it's tomorrow night. We're very excited. Ugh. We're very much looking. We can't do anything about that now, though, Ralph.
You don't get it, man. Coulson lives.
Do they never mind. We'll wait and talk about
Coulson lives.
Understood.
You don't understand.
I get it.
Open up a blog,
man. Go sell your sausage somewhere else. Talking about Carson Daly and his Emmy. He's just walking the hallways here. He's got it strapped to his junk. He's nude.
He's just rubbing it in pretty much.
He's just got the Emmy just hanging off his nads.
Oh, you guys are just in radio? Look what I have. This is an Emmy for TV.
Last night, of course, was the Emmys. HBO was the big winner. 27 statuettes went to that network then. CBS with 16 and NBC third with 11. So, no one watches, but they do good stuff. Apparently, that's what's happening over there at NBC. Although, tonight's Blacklist. Can't wait to check out Blacklist.
Yeah, it looks
James,
great.
James Spader. And that girl who's the FBI profiler in that. I don't know who she is, but she's hot.
Farrah Abramson?
No, she's not Farrah Abramson. Congratulations to all the winners last night. Here's a quick recap of who won what. Breaking Bad, best drama series. Lead actor in drama series, Jeff Daniels, for his work in The Newsroom. Lead actress in drama series, Claire Danes, for Homeland. They mixed it up in that category, which is kind of nice. Bobby Cannavale won for best supporting actor in a drama series for his work on Boardwalk Empire. Then Anna Gunn, for her work in Breaking Bad, won her the best supporting actress in a drama award. Best comedy series, Modern Family. Lead actor was Jim Parsons. Lead actress, Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Supporting actor, Tony Hale, for his work on Veep, and then supporting actress in a comedy series, Merritt Weaver, for Nurse Jackie. Congratulations to all those winners. Speaking of Breaking Bad, winning best drama, if you haven't seen the show and you want to find out what everybody's been talking about, you might think, oh, it's too late for me, because the finale is Sunday night at 9 p.m. No, I say, no! AMC is running a marathon of all four seasons of the show. That's 62 episodes ahead of its finale. On Sunday night, beginning Wednesday, you can watch the entire show. Catch up in 1 week. How many times do you have a chance to do that in life?
Wow.
So use it. Also, if you're a fan and you want to own Bryan Cranston's underwear, well, you're in luck. There's a company called ScreenBid, and AMC has placed more than 250 items up for auction on that site, including the Tidy Whiteys, the Bryan Cranston one when he was cooking meth. You can have those. Bidding starts just at $250.
Yep.
How about the hazmat suits worn by Cranston and co-star Aaron Paul? Bidding begins on September the 27th. Excuse me, 29th. You can check it out. And meanwhile, all the items are being displayed in New York City at the Museum of the Moving Image in Queens. So, you can check that out. Honey Boo Boo has been renewed.
Oh.
Yeah, no surprise there. TLC has renewed a third season of Honey Boo Boo. So a brand new round of episodes with Mama June and Sugar Bear and Alana, Honey Boo Boo.
I don't watch that show, but it's not a show like I feel like I'm missing it that much. I feel like I've seen everything that family has to offer me.
The new series will premiere on New Year's Day with an episode that promises an unconventional honeymoon that is sure to start fireworks. I don't know what that means, but I do not want to see Mama June and Sugar Bear having sex.
No, God, no.
No way
no how, not now, not never.
Right. Her favorite foods are sketty and butter.
And when we heard that Sacha Baron Cohen backed out of the Freddie Mercury biopic, we all assumed that project was dead. Turns out it's very much alive, if you believe the Daily Star newspaper in the UK. They say producers are now talking to Daniel Radcliffe.
No.
To play the late Queen frontman, Freddie Mercury.
Can he sing?
He can sing. He's done Broadway, including How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. He was a star in that on Broadway. He's closer in stature to Freddie than Sacha Baron Cohen, who is 6'3". Freddie was much shorter than that. He was about Daniel's side, about 5'5".
Oh.
And so they said they're talking to him about maybe taking over the role. That would be...
I don't know.
Interesting.
Could be interesting.
I don't know if he can act or not, but I am intrigued by Adam Lambert, who has been singing with Queen lately and has an amazing voice and looks a lot like Freddie Mercury to my eyes.
Yeah.
I just don't know if he can act.
I don't know if you want to give him a chance to take a stab at a British accent and try to pull that off.
Right.
That's
right.
A bit
it's
much.
It's a tall order.
Yeah.
Freddie Mercury led a very large life, and I think you need a big actor who can fill those shoes.
Oh, here he is now.
Oh, here, good. Mama. Just killed a man. Put a gun against his head. Pulled my trigger. Now he's dead.
Aww.
Mama.
It's an emotional
life
moment.
Life had just begun. But now I've gone and thrown it all away.
Why don't
they just cast Shatner? Shatner is Freddie Mercury in the Freddie Mercury story. Be awesome.
Or...
Yeah. Some unconventional casting. You want to go with Wing? Well, she's got the chops.
That would be good.
Happy birthday to Matt Kemp of the Dodgers. He's 29 years old today. These other stars were born on the 23rd of September. Jermaine Dupri is 41 years old. Chi McBride is 52. Jason Alexander turns 54 years old. Bruce Springsteen, the boss, is 64. This... on the heels of a 3-hour, 20-minute concert he did in Brazil last week.
Yeah.
64 years old.
He doesn't seem close to hanging up those rock and roll shoes, as they say.
I couldn't watch a concert for 3 hours and 20 minutes, let alone perform one at 64. And Mickey Rooney, a legendary midget actor, he is 93 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Speaking of Emmys, Andrew Siciliano, I don't believe either of your TV shows, either Around the League on the NFL Network or the DirecTV Red Zone, are even eligible for Emmys. There's no categories for guys like you, are there?
Well, what we do have, and good morning, is something called the Sports Emmys, which are in May, and they are in New York, and my show that I worked on the past 2 years, Total Access, was, for the very first time in its history, nominated for an Emmy this past year. We all went to New York when... did the whole thing, and we lost to MLB Tonight, which is a very good show on MLB TV, on the Major League Baseball Network, which is like a 5-hour nightly show where they go to all the games and talk. But we were nominated.
All right, that's nice. Sports Emmy, that makes, I guess that makes sense. All right,
sure, it's like a real Emmy, but different.
Right, it's like the daytime Emmys. They pretend they count.
It's right.
Let me ask you this, Mr. Siciliano, and I know that I am prone to hyperbole, but is this the strangest NFL season in a long time in terms of, in some ways, the whole world seems upside down and we can't predict anything anymore?
Remember how I always like to say, it almost sounds like a cliche now, that it's the world's greatest reality show because you have talented people and you truly have no idea what's going to happen because it isn't scripted unlike all the other garbage we see on TV every week? This is that year, and I guess you could argue that this was that week. I mean, so your Seahawks are 3-0, right?
As expected, that's not a mystery.
That's not a mystery. They haven't lost a home game since Christmas Eve 2011. Right. They are 3-0. The other five playoff teams from the NFC from last year are a combined 3-12. You figure that out.
Well, I mean, there's no way to explain how the Giants are 0-3, how the Steelers are 0-3, how the Redskins are 0-3, how the Dolphins are 3-0. I mean, it's bizarro world right now. And I know there's no one thing you can point to, but who's the team that is the most surprising to you this year? Is it the Giants? Is that the one that you never in a million years would have imagined would be in this spot right now?
I never thought the Giants would be 0-3. I never thought the Dolphins would be 3-0. Now, the Dolphins went out. And they spent like $140 million in the offseason in free agency. They signed Mike Wallace and Dustin Keller, and they went out and they got all these parts in defense. But you still looked at the team and said, I don't know. I mean, like, they're really going to challenge the Patriots? I mean,
right,
really?
Right.
And I mean, they're better, but they have a second-year quarterback who is good but not great. I don't. And Mike Wallace, some people thought he was a one-trick pony. Well, they're 3-0. And get this, their first two wins were on the road. So right. Yesterday was their home opener, and they beat a team that won 13 games a year ago. So, I mean, they are absolutely legit. And the Giants can't block anybody. Hey, Eli Manning leads the league in interceptions. And one of the reasons is he's getting battered. And then the Steelers can't block anybody. Like, I know this sounds, this is not a sexy headline, but when the Steelers lost Marquise Pouncey, their center, on the first drive of the season, week number one, he was their best offensive player, I mean, other than the quarterback. They cannot block anybody. They can't.
Right.
And now they're going to go to London 0-3.
This is the voice of our friend Andrew Siciliano, who, of course, is on NFL's Around the League Monday through Fridays on the NFL Network at 3. We're talking about this past weekend's NFL games. I think the funniest thing that I saw coming out of the games this weekend, and Andrew, I may have to give you credit. You may have retweeted it. Was Adrian Peterson, who said that his little girl came up to him last night and said, "Daddy, I can't believe you lost to the Browns."
He tweeted last night at like 9 o'clock last night. He tweets, "I'm laying here with my daughter," and she says out of the blue, "Daddy, I can't believe you lost to the Browns."
That has got to hurt, right?
I don't know how old she is, but yeah. I mean, can you imagine coming home and having your daughter start giving you crap about work? Can you imagine, like, I mean, it would be like any of you guys coming home, "Hey, yeah, Dad, heard the show this morning. Yeah, it sucked."
Exactly. That's what it would be like.
Pretty rough.
And I turned the channel.
Let me ask you about this, a team that is near and dear to a lot of people listening to our voice right now. What is going so horribly wrong with the San Francisco 49ers, who last year, let's remember, won the NFC, went to the Super Bowl, very nearly became Super Bowl champs. Now suddenly they're 1-2. What's wrong?
That's like the big question that all of us are trying to figure out today. I would like to say that defenses have caught up with Colin Kaepernick and what the Niners are doing offensively, but that sure is, you know, that wasn't the case week one. I mean, they ran all over the Packers week one. They're not moving the football, and Colin Kaepernick looks pedestrian. It's befuddling. Now, the bigger story, and now, by the way, they have a Thursday night game on the road this week, so they have to turn around without Patrick Willis, maybe, without Alden Smith, maybe without Vernon Davis, and go on the road and play in St. Louis on a Thursday night. And in St. Louis, they couldn't beat last year. They lost once and tied the other game. But the bigger story up there is, why the heck they let Alden Smith play? Do you guys know this story?
He was hurt, and they said he needed rehab, but they wanted him to play one more game first. Do I understand that correctly?
Okay, so he wasn't hurt. He has had other run-ins. He had his second DUI in 20 months on Friday morning. Not at 2 in the morning, at 7 a.m., which brings up the old adage, nothing good happens when you're still out at 7 a.m. It was his second DUI. They found him, his car, up against a tree with a .15 and his wheel still spinning. And he still practiced.
Wow, that is a surprise.
That day, and they played him. Now, immediately after the game, they said, leave of absence. He's going to rehab. But they let him play. And they're, you know, the team saying, well, this is all part of the process. We supported him. We told him, be with your team for the next couple of days, and then you're out of here, and you need to go get help, and we support you in getting help. But they put him on the field, and they're arguing that, well, this was the best thing for him. And he was on his way to work, allegedly, with a 1-5.
Yeah, ouch, ouch.
Yeah, that's the one that makes no sense today.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like you're ready for athletic play, that's for sure. All right, and one more, Andrew. We look ahead toward what could be the worst Monday night game of the year tonight.
Oh,
am I wrong?
Come on!
What?
You must have a lot more faith in the Raiders than I do. I know they're better than they have been, but seriously.
The Raiders are now exciting. Terrell Pryor is now exciting. They are not going to win tonight. but Terrell Pryor is worth watching. And yes, the Broncos have won 11 consecutive regular season games by at least 7 points. So
that's all I'm
they
saying.
Will get, I mean, they will win 12 tonight. Mark it down. But the Raiders are actually somewhat fun to watch now.
Okay. And all right. It's better. Maybe it'll be better than I imagine. I picture it's going to be a lot like the Seahawks-Jacksonville game yesterday, which is that I don't need to watch after halftime. That's what I'm afraid of. All right. We're out of time. NFL Around the League, Monday through Friday at 3 on the NFL Network with our friend who's not yet award-winning but deserves to be, Andrew Siciliano. And, of course, don't miss the DirecTV Red Zone on NFL Sundays through DirecTV. Andrew, thank you for the time, my friend. We'll do it again soon.
All right. See you guys.
Is that the Ralph Garman vocal assist version of Lord?
It's a duet we've just released on iTunes.
I like it. Hey, welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show here for a Monday. David Peterson from Alhambra just won tickets for Six Flags Magic Mountain as K-Rock takes over the mountain this Saturday. You can listen all week long from 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. every half hour. We got tickets every 30 minutes. That means your next chance coming up in just a couple of minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Before I get to showbiz news, I want to give away some tickets to a very cool event. It's the K-Rock Microbrew Party in the infield at Santa Anita.
Yay!
Yes, it's a lengthy name, but good times are there to be had at Santa Anita Racetrack coming this Saturday, September the 28th at Santa Anita. You get, well, you should just go. It's like $5 to get in.
It's always a good time.
For corn's sake. But I'm giving away some special VIP packs. Here's what you get. You get $106.7 to bet with. See what they did there? $106.7.
Uh-huh. That's 70 cents. It's going to go a long way, man.
Hey, you don't know, man. You get that as well as a four-pack of tickets. So you get to bring three of your friends to this very cool event. Here's what's going to happen. Shiny Toy Guns are going to be playing in the infield.
Like them.
With their special guest, Lose Control, will also be there. There's over 25 gourmet and microbrews that will be present there. You can get your beer on. Let's see who's going to be attending from K-Rock. Stryker will be there. Maybe they'll soak the infield and make a mud run out of it. That would be good for him. Beer Mug will be there. Well, I'm sorry.
Really? It's not too late to change
Dave
that?
Dave the King of Mexico. Nicole Alvarez. Cat Corbett.
Wow.
Super Steve. Omar and Lightning. Yes.
Glenda be there?
They have just shaken K-Rock and turned it upside down. Here's what fell out, and it's going to be at the infield on Saturday. So go, enjoy, live, be.
We got a winner! Nelly.
Lightning will be on the microphone. Just
I hope he is.
Giving away all kinds of stuff. Here's how you win it. Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First two callers who get through with that number get a four-pack of tickets to the K-Rock Microbrew Party in the infield this Saturday, September the 28th at Santa Anita.
Everybody
all
say
horse,
hey!
My lord.
Oh! Everybody scream!
He is magic on the mic.
Mm-hmm. He's not happy until everyone's screaming.
Yeah, that's for sure. Especially him. And he'll give you a deal on car insurance. And just so many things you can get from Lightning. It is Monday. That means we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Here is what you spent your movie dollar on this weekend, America. Prisoners, in its debut, $21.4 million. Made it number one, Insidious, Chapter 2. $14.5 million. It was good enough to put that in second place. Then The Family, Instructions Not Included, and Battle of the Year, the debut of that hilarious dance movie. $5 million made it number five. We're the Millers was sixth. The Butler, Riddick, The Wizard of Oz, re-released in 3D on IMAX screens, debuted this weekend to the tune of $3 million. Not bad for only being in a couple theaters. And then Planes was 10th. The box office this weekend. Last night, the Emmy Awards were given out, hosted by Neil Patrick Harris. A lot of the other guest hosts stopped by to do a little funny with Neil Patrick Harris. Tina Fey and Amy Poehler were in the audience. Good time was had by all. As expected, they did the tributes to the stars who passed away in the course of the year. Edie Falco gave tribute to James Gandolfini, Jane Lynch, to Corey Monteith, Michael J. Fox for Family Ties creator Gary David Goldberg. Robin Williams talked about his friend and mentor Jonathan Winters, and Rob Reiner gave a salute to All in the Family's Gene Stapleton. Very touching.
You would have think that I would have loved the show last night because there was so much death.
Yeah,
like every 10 minutes they were celebrating somebody else, because they did all the ones you mentioned, and they also did the regular, you know, 5-minute montage of Hollywood people who have left us.
Right.
And then they did, Don Cheadle came out and talked about President Kennedy's assassination for a while.
Oh, finally, like they commented on that, because for so long we've been ignoring the fact that President Kennedy was assassinated.
The 50th anniversary is coming up, and his point was that TV, you know, brought the nation together and blah, blah, blah. But it was just, they went out of their way. I mean, they weren't just talking about people that just died. They went out of their way to dig up dead people from the past just to get more death on the telecast. It was very weird.
Yeah, they should have put Steve Martin out to a King Tut tribute.
Right, why not?
The boy king.
Right.
Drama series, Breaking Bad got the Emmy for that. Modern Family was the best comic series, according to the Academy. Best movie or miniseries, Behind the Candelabra from HBO with Michael Douglas and Matt Damon on that show. Michael also won for best actor in a TV movie or miniseries. And Elton John did a little musical tribute to Liberace. Which does that officially make it the gayest moment on television?
It might have been.
Elton John is doing a tribute to Liberace.
That's how you get the young people into the Emmys, though, I'll tell you that.
Oh, kids love Liberace. Can't get enough.
Gay. Really, really gay.
Sad news last week. We didn't get a chance to mention the Hollywood choreographer Patsy Swayze passed away at the age of 86. That name sounds familiar because she was the mom of Patrick Swayze. He started out as a dancer in the business. His mom was a dancer and choreographer. For example, she taught John Travolta how to do the two-step for Urban Cowboy.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah.
About that.
She taught Debbie Allen from Fame. Randy Quaid, Jacqueline Smith were all students. Lisa Naomi, a young lady who went on to later marry her son, Patrick Swayze, in 1975. They had one of the great Hollywood romances and marriages. She passed away at the age of 86. So, sad news. But this will make you feel better. Jennifer Lopez is a diva. Yes, the stories, again, are coming out about her demands backstage. According to Star Magazine, American Idol was given a list of must-haves if she was going to be a judge on that show again. According to Star, the producers got a list that included Jen must have her own massive trailer parked outside the soundstage where she could spend some time whiling away the hours with two spray tanners. On call at all times. A masseuse available 24/7. And, of course, the legendary no eye contact rule for the crew.
That's real.
Apparently.
I thought that was a show business story that they just make up about eccentric people like Prince. But somebody actually has a rule that says you're not allowed to look me in the eye.
That
when
comes
I walk
up
on.
Quite often when it, talking about Jennifer Lopez. She was backstage at the Taylor Swift concert. And word was passed backstage when she entered to try to see Taylor Swift here in Los Angeles, that was the rule for all the crew that was working that
look
show.
Look away.
Just avert your eyes. She's like Medusa. If you look at her, you'll turn to stone.
Bitch got no class.
Fox also must, again, according to this article, provide a limo and a driver on call at all times.
Oh, so this is for her whole life, not just getting to the show.
No. This is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Hmm.
Fox must have a limo and driver standing by that is also available to her nanny and her kids. In case they need to go, you know, to play group or something, they can take the stretch. And she has to have an entire floor of the production facility to herself.
Can this possibly be true?
Possibly, absolutely. Is it true? I don't know.
Wow.
Oh, f*** you.
And John Gosselin of John plus Kate plus 8 times pi. I forget what the name of that show was, but he's fallen considerably since having one of the most successful reality shows on television. He now is, I believe, waiting tables in a small town in Pennsylvania called Beckersville. And he does not like the paparazzi documenting his fall from grace.
Well, his life has got to be sad.
It is. Apparently, a photographer popped up outside of his job over the weekend, then followed him back to his home and started snapping pictures on his property. That idea did not go down well with John Gosselin. He started yelling at her, the female photographer, and then, just to be kind, fired a warning shot from his gun that he apparently had in the back of his pants.
What?
And then followed her until she returned to a public road off of his private property. Now, according to TMZ.com, the photographer tried to press charges against John, but was notified by local authorities that, in fact, she would be the one catching a case for criminal
trespassing because she was on private property when she was taking those photographs. So she declined to pursue the matter because it turns out she was in the wrong.
Well,
in that case, John should have aimed better. Just a warning shot. Should have winged her or something, taken a kneecap.
Self-defense, man.
Yeah, been awesome. Today's celebrity birthdays, Matt Kemp of the Dodgers is 29 years old today. Rapper, producer, record head Jermaine Dupri is 41 years old. Is he the one who called his named his son Your Majesty? Is that Jermaine? No.
No,
he wasn't the good
I think
one.
That was Jermaine Jackson,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, darn it. They all should. Anyone named Jermaine should name their kid Your Majesty. Chai McBride's 52. Jason Alexander's 54. The Boss, Bruce Springsteen, celebrates his 64th birthday today. And legendary actor Mickey Rooney is 93 years old today. At one time, one of the biggest box office stars in the world, with a series of films called the Andy Hardy movies, where he played the all-American boy next door, and we followed his adventures. Then he went on to star in other movies like Breakfast at Tiffany's. Most recently, I guess probably you saw him as one of the guards in Night at the Museum, I guess. Maybe is what you may know him from. Right. 93 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you so much, Ralph. We have a lot of great guests coming up this week on the Kevin and Bean Show, including Amber Tamblyn is going to be in studio. She's joining 2.5 Men this week. James Hetfield from Metallica on the program. Danny McBride, Jimmy Kimmel. Lots of great guests. None of them on tomorrow's show.
All right, then. We have some work to do.
however, our friend Phil Kogan is stopping on by talking about the return of the amazing
guest right there.
Yeah.
And very, very excited about our musical guest tomorrow. You know our little friend, Lisa's boyfriend, Brandon Boyd from Incubus?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he and Brendan O'Brien, who's the great producer, songwriter, they have a band together called Sons of the Sea. And they have a new record coming out. And they're not pirates. It's called Sons of the Sea. They're both coming in tomorrow, and they are going to be performing live for us tomorrow on the Kevin
Bean
Show.
Walking the plank as well.
How much we enjoy that. Plus more tickets for Depeche Mode, including the meet and greet. That's all tomorrow right here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock.